Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Thursday, the 25th day of March 2010. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours and for a full hour. Coming up in the noontime, in the second hour, Judge Andrew Napolitano will be joining us for a full hour to talk about the health care bill, to discuss how the Democrats are trying to act like they're victims from a few bricks being thrown through windows, trying to spin this whole thing like anyone that's against the health care bill is a racist Nazi, which has nothing to do with it. We'll be talking to Judge Andrew Napolitano about that and his new book, Lies the Government Told You, Myth, Power, and Deception in American History. Also, I talked to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the father of Reaganomics, the head of policy for Ronald Reagan at the Treasury, best-selling author, syndicated columnist. He writes 2 columns a week. He is quitting the column. There was not much ambiguity in his final column that he sent to us and asked us to post at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But some people were still questioning exactly what he meant by, you know, goodbye. I'm done. But I talked to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts yesterday, and later in the broadcast, I will tell you what he had to say. He said that he will probably come on our show first late next week, but that he is moving right now. And I could hear people boxing up things in the background, but he said as soon as he gets moved, he will come on this show first, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Okay, the news is so off the charts, as usual. Things just get crazier and crazier by the day. I mean, everything we warned you about is coming true because we're reading government documents, but it's all here. And the news is so important that I'm not just going to start ranting into it at the very beginning of the broadcast. I thought we'd do things a little bit different today. I want to open the phones up, but only for doctors and nurses to get their take on the government takeover of healthcare. If you think it's a good thing, I'd like to know if you've actually read the bill. If you think it's a bad thing and you've read the bill or looked at the sections, we'd like to hear from you. And I will go directly to your calls in the next segment. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231 for doctors and nurses. We can also have people who work in VA hospitals call in to talk about the type of care that the government provides. Most of it goes to bureaucracy. They don't give the VA actual doctors and medical workers the money they need. The entire VA is set up around not delivering treatment and trying to get our veterans into the psychiatric system so they can lose their Second Amendment rights. 1-800-259-9231. Now, in the second, third, and fourth hour, we'll have wide open phones. I don't even know what to say anymore. It's a 2,700-page bill. It's back in the Senate. Oh, Obama signed it, but now they've got it basically a new bill. They're trying to tack even more horrible things onto it. And then we've got this story up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Loophole exempts Washington insiders from Obamacare mandate. And remember, we covered the AP yesterday covering the subsection. Oh, it was an oversight. It doesn't give coverage to pre-existing conditions for children and others. It was all a giant hoax, a giant transfer of wealth and power to the bank-owned insurance companies. In fact, here's an article today. Insurance industry suddenly, excited about healthcare law, launches program to enroll Americans. They wrote the stinking thing, but they played along with the hoax that they were against it. So that is coming up. Also, police to now get keys to your door. No judge, no jury. You're not on probation. It's for your safety. Cops in New Jersey town given keys to homes. That is the mainstream news headline from WCBS Television. It's all coming up today. A jam-packed transmission. Also, the green cop police cars are now out.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Thursday, the 25th day of March, 2010. Judge Andrew Napolitano will join us for a full hour coming up in the next hour. At the very start of the broadcast today, I want to go to your phone calls. I want to hear from doctors and nurses and medical workers who are aware of the dangerous provisions in this bill, this freedom-killing, Constitution-overthrowing legislation. I talked to my dad last night, and he was listening to Rush Limbaugh yesterday, and he said that Rush Limbaugh was saying that Obama may suspend elections. In fact, I forgot to tell my crew, go to Limbaugh's site, his transcript from yesterday, because my dad a few weeks ago said that Limbaugh was saying the whole Constitution and Bill of Rights was being overthrown, and then we went to his site, and indeed he had said that. So I know he said it because my dad said he heard it, but that's a big deal to have Limbaugh coming out saying we may have martial law in America and that this bill is so lawless, so illegal, so criminal that this shows that we have real tyrants running the country and that none of us are safe. I mean, Limbaugh is actually telling the truth, the complete truth in saying this. Did you hear about this? Did you hear him say this? The phones are only open for doctors and nurses, and if you heard Limbaugh, talk about it. And I'll have the guys try to pull up the clip and find it. But, I mean, no doubt it was said. My dad doesn't make stuff up. He was right a few weeks ago when he said he heard Limbaugh say that because he tunes back and forth from my show to Limbaugh's show when he's not working or when he's at lunch. Oh, man. I mean, that's the thing about this, is that you cannot deny anymore that the time is late. We are in deep trouble as a society. Now, I have a lot of important news that just becomes more and more amazing, more and more absurdist, more and more ridiculous every day. And we're going to be getting to that coming up a little bit at the bottom of the hour and then more throughout the broadcast today. But I do want to go to your calls now. Coming up, loophole exempts Washington insiders from Obamacare mandate. And we went and looked at the subsection of the bill. It's there. Politico has also reported on this, but the story is very, very important. This needs to get out to everyone. This is the essence of tyranny. It's really the coup de grace or the cherry on top to have a government that exempts itself from the laws that it foists on its slave subjects. In the last 5 years, the European Union bureaucracy has exempted itself from the upwards of 60% tax rate in Europe under EU control. They have exempted themselves down to 17%. Or they pay less than a third of what everyone else does. And then all the tax laws are selectively enforced where the really rich billionaires pay almost no taxes. Separately from that, most of the IRS enforcers in this country don't even target middle class. They target working class blue-collar folks. Most of the investigators are targeting them because the criminals run the system from the top. They want to be exempt, and they are. How many congressmen and their wives don't pay taxes? Geithner runs the Treasury. We'll also get into Dr. Paul Craig Roberts saying goodbye, truth has fallen, and taken liberty with it. We'll talk about his final editorial article. He says he is done writing editorial columns. I talked to him yesterday on the telephone. He's scheduled to be coming on later in the show next week. He's moving right now. And again, Andrew Napolitano, this new book, Lies the Government Told You, Myth, Power, and Deception in American History, that is coming up. Also, cops in New Jersey town given keys to homes. That's right. And they wanted to have this nationwide where the police just have a key to your house. And it's illegal to have burglar bars. We are prisoners. The entire country, the entire world is being turned into a giant prison. That is only the tip of the iceberg of the news. But as I said, I want to go to your phone calls right now. But I'm telling the listeners, I want to hear from doctors or nurses, people directly affected by this insurance company takeover. This is not even socialism. It's tyranny, where they socialize your wealth and then feed it in to their financial system. And don't forget what Bloomberg is reporting. And I've been talking about this since last week, but we're going to cover it more today. The FDIC and the federal government are pressuring government pension funds, particularly, but private ones as well, for cities, counties, fire, police, teachers, to invest their money in the banks to, quote, prop them up, to invest in the bad loans. I mean, those are quotes. So you think the socialist health care, attaching your wages, controlling your life, and lowering your standard of care, cutting Medicare and Medicaid while raising taxes, you think that's a robbery, a rape? They are now moving to take your pension funds, and many people have already had much or all of their private pension funds stolen. These big CEOs and their top shareholders move the assets out into other shell corporations and sell off their assets and then announce, oh, the company's bankrupt. Sorry, you don't get your pension. You know about Enron and Global Crossing and companies like that, but hundreds of companies the last 5 years have stolen the pension funds, all or part. Remember Bush in 2005 got the policies changed for that, and I warned you then that they were setting up a debt bubble and getting ready to rob you. This is all illegal and lawless, and until we get angry and say no and really face up to how evil and corrupt and illegitimate our government is, it's only going to get worse. People have to grow up and realize that tyranny is the norm in the world and that it's happening here in a really bad way. I can't look at Nancy Pelosi. She is seriously a narcissistic demon goblin. And I can't look at Obama. I can't look at Newt Gingrich. I can't look at Senator Lindsey Graham. That guy wants the health care bill. That guy wants the carbon taxes. With Republicans like these, we have no hope. No hope. Okay, let's go to your calls. I'm going to talk to Dr. Hall first in Florida. Dr. Hall, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Alex.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up a couple of points. Number one, I'm a practicing family practice doc here in Miami Beach. There was no tort reform built into this bill. We have South Florida is one of the highest litigious states and areas in the country. What are we going to do about that? Number two, we have the Patient Protection Affordability Care Act provides $5 billion for high-risk pool folks who have HIV/AIDS. These folks are allocated $5 billion for this pool. And what I've calculated by the CBO's own estimates, it's $4,000 per person, and you have perhaps $2 billion per 500,000 individuals to cover this, and that's just a healthy person. So there's no way they can afford to provide any sort of care for folks with HIV/AIDS, which is pretty endemic in our part of the world here.
Well, that's a good point, and we do need tort reform, but instead you've got Big Pharma, the vaccine makers, that are all but immune when their vaccines kill and maim people en masse. But then meanwhile, folks go to doctors now, and they expect the doctor to be able to heal them of anything and everything they have, when in some cases, doctors just can't heal you or something goes wrong because doctors are not God, and then people sue them. People sue if they get an infection when their tooth gets pulled. People sue if the doctor fixes their broken leg and then they don't wear the crutches right and fall downstairs and break it again. And you've got all these lawyers that are out of control and the whole system is set up to go after doctors. And people wonder why healthcare costs have gone up so much. A big part of it is the fact that the doctors have to buy liability insurance. I mean, I've read where some doctors are spending a couple hundred thousand dollars a year just on their liability insurance. If you've been sued once or twice, you see tens of thousands of patients. Many of them are mentally ill, schizophrenic nuts who start accusing the doctors of all manner of made-up garbage, and then they've always got some slimeball lawyer ready to sue. That's another good point you made.
Well, you know, defensive medicine, they calculate costs is about $90 to $150 billion a year. I bet the costs are higher than that. Catherine Sebelius, who's you know, HHS head, was the lead trial attorney lobbyist for the state of Kansas. You know, of course, she's involved with this. So it doesn't surprise me that we're facing a, you know, we're going to have a huge issue. Doctors are going to be retiring, and folks are going to go to CVS or Walmart for their health care, get their Snickers and their pap smear, because that's where it's headed.
Let me ask you one more question, Dr. Hall, family practitioner there in Florida. The insurance companies did write the bill. That's in the Wall Street Journal. It's in Bloomberg. It's back in the news today, but they just quietly have a few paragraphs here and there going, well, actually, the biggest insurance companies actually wrote this, and this makes 30 million people get insurance, and it allows them to lower their care. When we come back, I want to ask you, are the doctors you're talking to and are your patients aware that this is not just some freebie giveaway? And again, it's also in the Associated Press that this doesn't cover children with pre-existing conditions, the group that the government supposedly wanted to help more than anyone. We'll get your take on that, then talk to Rich, Frank, Tony, Nessa, and others. Stay with us. All right, going back to Dr. Hall in Florida with my question. Are doctors aware of the fact that this is a insurance company scam? Dr. Hall.
Alex, I don't think many of my colleagues are aware of what's going on. I don't think any of them have read the 2,700 pages or even one page. They're so caught up in trying to see patients every 5 minutes, I don't think they know. And I'll tell you this, the problem crisis solution issue that we have with the health insurer, particular WellPoint and Anthem, in California 2-3 weeks ago, right before this thing came down, they increased rates by 39%. There was the problem. The crisis was there. What's the solution? Passed the Obamacare plan. Came right down our throats. They're all in cahoots. It's a big ruse. And I really believe, and until doctors wake up, which most of them are asleep, unfortunately, they're so caught up in paperwork and red tape with the insurance companies trying to get paid, I don't think anything's going to happen.
I agree with you, and I appreciate your call. In fact, before the bill even passed a few weeks ago, I saw press reports where the government just cut Medicare and Medicaid fund preemptively by more than 20%. So that's all this is, ladies and gentlemen, is a giant government takeover of health care to lower quality and ensure bigger profits for the bank-owned insurance companies. Let's talk to Nessa in New York. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Alex. I work in New York, and it seems like that we're having a hard time keeping our jobs here because the city is going bankrupt. And I just wanted to say that I thought it was inevitable that this would pass. I thought it was inevitable because they really had our hearts. They had our hearts when we think about, you know, the patient or the family that went bankrupt, not being able to afford the treatment that they needed, or everybody has a story like that. And if what you're saying is true, and I guess I have to read the healthcare bill, then we really wasted a golden opportunity. We could have been, this could have been an opportunity for us to be ahead of the curve in the world. We could have used this as a launching pad, and we could have just researched and patented the technology. The government could, and the American people could have exported the technology to other countries.
Well, Nessa, here's the problem, and I appreciate your call. We don't have nice people running the government. And so any bill they pass is going to be a scam, just like the banker bailout bill. You had 99% of Americans in polls against it a year and a half ago, back in October of 2008, but it still happened. And you're saying this was inevitable to pass because they had our hearts. Before it passed, over 70%. Now it's over 80% are against the bill because people are actually having a chance to look at subsections of it. In England, in Europe, in Canada, by every yardstick, they have even worse health care than we do. Oh, the government taxes you and then supposedly gives you free health care. That's like the government saying we give school kids free laptops. They're not free. It's paid for with taxpayer money. And then they use the laptops to watch you at home illegally. Anything they give you has strings attached. It's like if the mafia comes and offers to give you a loan at 30% interest, you don't take it. It's designed to make you a debt slave. And I cleaned off my stack from the last 2 days here. So, hey, will you guys print me that AP article again? Oversight and health bill, children with pre-existing conditions not covered, and I'll read the subsection again. If what I'm saying is true, of course what I'm saying is true. I mean, I want you to know, listeners, please check out what I say. I don't make stuff up. I occasionally make a mistake here or there, but very rarely, and it's normally just on a date or an amount or a bill number. I get little things like that wrong, but we're telling the truth. Frank in North Carolina, did you hear Limbaugh talk about there not being elections coming up?
Alex, I did want to speak about Rush Limbaugh, but I didn't hear that particular thing, but I did want to back you up what you're saying. Last January, I just gotten laid off from work. I was home, and I turned on Rush Limbaugh. I hate him. I can't stand him, but, you know, kind of monitoring the enemy radio waves. He spent about a minute before he went to a commercial break, right at the beginning of the show, and the first 15 minutes, he said, everything that you say about the New World Order, the elites, how they're running everything, about how the president and all that, well, those guys are all just puppets. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I listened to Rush Limbaugh for 15 years. I was a mind-numbed robot listening to that guy, and I could not believe my ears what I was hearing. So I'm like, you know, hanging on after, you know, when he goes to commercial, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe he's talking about this. He comes back. I listen to the rest of the show, 2 3/4 hours. He doesn't mention it ever again.
Well, I know he said this yesterday because my dad said he heard it, and we're looking for the transcript, but he said Obama may suspend elections, and I agree with him. Thank you, Frank. We'll be back with more calls. Stay with us. Big push will be amnesty for millions of illegal immigrants who are here. Obama's going to need their votes in 2012. The Democrats are going to need their votes in every election from now on, if we have elections, and I'm not joking. The Constitution has just been ripped to shreds, so why is anything safe, he said. We need to defeat these bastards. We need to wipe them out. We need to chase them out of town. But we need to do more than that. We need to elect conservatives. If there are Republican primaries, elect conservatives, and then defeat the Democrats, every last one of them. And then we will start to repeal the bill. Good job finding that, guys. And look, I say great news. Let Limbaugh come out and talk about the New World Order and world government and how elites run the presidents. But we need to talk about Lindsey Graham. We need to talk about Newt Gingrich. We need to talk about John McCain. We need to talk about all of these Republicans that are globalist. And we need to talk about how they're on the payroll of the very same insurance companies. Now, here is the Associated Press. Gap in health care law protection for children. Hours after President Barack Obama signed historic health care legislation, a potential problem emerged. Oh, a potential. Administration officials, not servants, they're officials, are now scrambling to keep a gap in highly touted benefits for children. Obama made better coverage for children a centerpiece of his health care remake. But it turns out the letter of the law provided a less than complete guarantee that kids with health problems would not be shut out of coverage. And it goes on to say how it now exists, Under the new law, insurance companies still would be able to refuse new coverage to children because of a pre-existing medical condition, said Karen Lightfoot, spokeswoman for the House Energy and Commerce Committee, one of the main congressional panels that wrote the Obama bill into law. Folks, the way I read the bill, it says insurance companies can deny anybody with a pre-existing condition. And then you get pushed on to Medicare or Medicaid, which they cut the funding for, and they're going to add tens of millions of people to. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that's a lie. All right, I'm going to go quickly to your calls now. Let's go ahead and talk to Rich in New York. You're on the air.
Hello, Alex.
Welcome.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I got through with you. I talked with you once before. I'm a healthcare worker here in New York City. I'm just going to tell my phone down. By the way, this is an internet phone. I hope it sounds clear.
Sounds fine. Go ahead.
All right. We talked once before about the whole forced inoculation issue, and I'm so happy that you woke me up. And I got down to a lobby one time in Manhattan, and Judge McNamara shot that down, as you well know. And they're going to probably continue on a new front to try to do this to us again. We're seeing it over and over. Real quickly, I work in a hospital. There was an emergency managers meeting today in regard to emergency preparedness and a whole host of other issues. This is nothing new. I mean, this is going on for a long time. My whole concern is I think they're going to turn the hospital system in New York City into a prison system. It's not the first time that they've actually had clientele from said institutions like Rikers and other things. And I think they use that as a beta test on the general population of the hospital, like the hospital workers, patients themselves, to coexist with a prison population and take
care
of
them. And to treat all the patients like prisoners.
Precisely. So it's like just a, again, a slow, gradual process of numbing.
Yeah, this system is run by psych warfare experts. So everything is done in a psychological operant conditioning, creeping programming.
Yeah, Frank Zappa talked about it a long time ago. That's why I wish he would use Frank more in his for your bump music. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but Frank Zappa knew about this a long time ago. Jason's a little more open-minded to Frank Zappa. I think he's a little too censored on the waves. We don't want to get you in trouble with the FCC or anything.
I'm not censoring Frank Zappa. I've had his widow on.
Awesome.
I've played extended interviews with him. I've played interviews where he was on Crossfire, so you may have missed that, but I appreciate your call. I mean, look, there's so much to cover here. Fess Parker died last week. I'm a big fan of his music, and I didn't even know about it till yesterday. In fact, guys, remind me to play that Long Live George Washington intro coming into the next segment. I want to play that for folks. Thank you, caller. Let's talk to Linda in California. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Linda, you're on the air. Welcome. Good to have you here with us.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a nurse, and I was married to a practicing physician who was in practice for over 40 years in California. And back in 1965, he predicted all of this, and he said physicians will rue the day that, you know, Medicare.
Linda, can you try to get a little bit closer to your telephone?
Yes. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think that this has, you know, really been going on for a long time, and I'm still working actively in healthcare, in the hospital situation, and I see where all the older doctors who know what's coming are going to quit, and the younger doctors have been trained over the last 15, 20 years to just accept whatever the government says. With organizations like JACO and AMA and others that put down these Medicare as the leading say-so on whatever was done medically.
Exactly. In the last 30 years, the government in collusion with the insurance companies has already taken over healthcare, and it's all the bureaucracy and the red tape and not letting the actual medical experts, the doctors and nurses and specialists run things. As soon as the bureaucrats started running health care, it was doomed, and we're going to end up just like England, where you wait a year and a half for cancer surgery, the lowest survivability of any Western nation. It's going to be absolutely destroyed, which is exactly what the control freaks want, but they're all exempt, and they will all go to elite clinics. I appreciate your call. And here's the article up on PrisonPlanet.com. Loophole exempts Washington insiders from Obamacare mandate. No Obamacare for Obama. His family, his staff, the vice president's staff, the rest of the administration, Nancy Pelosi's staff, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Reid's staff, all other House and Senate leaders and their staff, all committee members and their staff. The list goes on. That's from Politico. Now, if it's so good for all of us, why are they exempt? Why did the German government and German military demand a adjuvant and mercury-free special vaccine for H1N1, and then they even refused that? Why did we find out the British government wasn't really taking real vaccines but was taking fake saltwater shots on the news? If it's so good. Come on, people. Realize what's happening. This is a criminal operation. A loophole written into the financial health care reform bill passed on Sunday and signed into law by Obama yesterday exempts Washington insiders and committee staff members from the mandate that now requires every American to purchase health insurance. Members of Congress and their office staff will have to buy insurance through the will not have to buy through the state-run exchange created under the bill. However, those working for congressional committees or for party leaders in the House and Senate are excluded. They don't have to. Page 158 of the bill defines congressional staff narrowly as employees employed by the official office of a member of Congress, whether in the district office or in Washington. The Congressional Research Service believes a court could rule that the legislation would exclude professional committee staff, joint committee staff, some shared staff, as well as potentially those staff employed by leadership offices. If that's so, staffers who work for Nancy Pelosi in her capacity as representative from California would go into the exchange program, while staffers who work for her in her capacity as speaker would stay on the government's plan. Other Capitol employees, like those who work for the clerk of the House of Historian, would be similarly exempted. This is complete and total discrimination on a massive, on a ultra-massive level. And they know what they're doing. This is another reason to have this thing repealed. It is discriminatory. Let's go to Rob in Georgia. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Welcome.
Thank you. Just a couple quick things, and I've got to run here myself because I'm actually in the office today. Huge boon for the pharmaceutical companies once again. You mentioned AIG, the insurance companies, but if I recall correctly, in the national health care proposal was that you had to carry prescription drug coverage.
Yes. Yes, they're set to make hundreds of billions of dollars every few years off of this. That's why the insurance companies and Big Pharma lobbied for the bill and wrote the stinking thing.
As well as a Medicare Part D.
Because that's the type of health care you're going to get is the drugs. This is the comparative care where the government and the insurance companies decide what you get, taking control away from doctors and nurses. And it also has unfunded Medicare, Medicaid doubling on the states. It makes the states pay for most of this as a separate tax on top of the other taxes in the bill that are federal, which will then make the states raise taxes.
Well, and I know here in Georgia, they're already going to go after it on a constitutional basis. But the last thing I want to mention to you is it's kind of a bombshell for physicians. I've worked with them for 21 years now, and I work in the partly in the pharmaceutical industry. But I want to tell you that what people don't know and understand is these drugs that we take in the U.S., for the greater part, aren't made here anymore. They're made in India, some of which the active ingredients are made in China, and then they're sold back to the U.S. market. If I can, real quick, give you a quote from, this is Asia Times, 2005. It says, India today has the largest number of U.S. Food and Drug Administrative approved manufacturing facilities outside the U.S. drug master files, which have to be approved by the FDA before a drug can enter the U.S. market, these 126 companies have filed. That's more than Spain, Italy, China, and Israel put together. Now, you understand, we're talking Asia Times, May of 2005. That's 5 years ago.
And we now have all these Chinese-made vaccines filled with live pig virus and everything else. It's amazing.
Well, the point is, they're not only getting a freebie from the government. You know why they're going there is because they can make it for 10 cents on a dollar. And they could sell it to in your local pharmacy for the price that you would normally pay at the pharmacy.
And, it's a complete and total ripoff. I appreciate your call. Great points. Let's talk to Jeremy calling from California. Go ahead.
Hey, man. On Monday, I listened to a wide swath of radio to see to gauge what the temperature was out there as far as the bill. I listened to Tom Hartman, Rush Limbaugh, everybody. And what you said about Limbaugh was actually a trip because I did notice that. And the interesting thing is throughout the day, there seemed to be a major theme on the right. And then the left, everybody just gauging their own opinion, and they were basically taking the establishment line. But I was struck by Limbaugh because it almost seemed like he was restraining himself from really going into, going down the avenue of truth. And when he said that about elections, he didn't just say it once. He said it multiple times. And, it was as if he's thinking, he has a lot to lose. You know, after everything he's built up, if this thing goes down, he doesn't have a golden parachute. You know, he's got the same money that we have. And so it was definitely a mind blower.
Well, I'll go back to Bloomberg with quotes from the federal government telling state agencies around the nation to invest fire, police, military, you name it, pension funds to, quote, prop up bad loans in banks. I mean, they're openly saying they're taking your retirement money. This is to the government people and putting it into the corrupt banks. I mean, it's just the time for screwing around is over. The time for denial is over. So many countries fall to hardcore corruption and oppression and authoritarian oppression and tyranny because the public cannot believe it's actually happening. The public cannot believe they're actually being robbed. They cannot believe that there are bad people in the world. Where do you think corrupt bad people go? They go into government because in government they can rob the people and team up with big corporations to create monopolies and take over society. It's all true. The world government, the eugenics, the poisoning of the water, the dumbing down of the population, the training everyone to spy on their neighbors. It's all happening. The jig is up, folks. The balloon went up a long time ago. And if people don't grow up and really get serious, it's over. And so I'm glad Michael Savage and Limbaugh are talking about world government, New World Order now, and talking about how the Republicans are just as bad. Glenn Beck, I've been watching him some. He's getting a little bit better. Because I think you hit the nail on the head here. There's a lot of nouveau riche and a lot of new wealth and a lot of even big establishment people that realize in a bona fide tyranny, the ultra elite then rob the rest of the elite. And that's the one reason this may get overturned is there are a lot of wealthy people. And I don't mean people worth $10 million. I mean people worth $1 billion who are now figuring out they are not part of the power structure and that this is a hot tyranny. This isn't some good old boy corruption. This is a hardcore mechanized police state, and Limbaugh and all of them better start talking about the secret arrest legislation. They need to start talking about the MIAC and Homeland Security reports and how all of this is set up for the American people. They better start talking about the FEMA camps. They better start talking about poison in the food and water. They better go all the way because only the truth will save us. And I've talked to some big radio executives who are scared and know what's going on, and want to try to promote my show nationwide, but the bigger shareholders above them won't let them do it. So, look, look, at some of the biggest radio networks out there, their executives know full well I'm telling the truth. They're not stupid. They'd love to have Alex Jones on. They know we'd get big ratings, but they can't do it because the owners of the companies are top globalists. I appreciate your call. I have talked in the last few months to executives at the highest level that have contacted me. And they're not saying like they did 10 years ago, hey, sell out. They're saying, yeah, you're right. We better do something. Yeah, this is, years ago, I thought you were exaggerating a little bit. It's all true. It's worse than you said. Well, you're absolutely right. My wife wants to get out of here, and it's bad. See, this is the trick of the authoritarians. They always get all these idiots and people that think they can be bought off to go along with it. You can't bargain with the devil. Bess Parker died last week.
I can hear the echo of 1,000 ringing bells. I can smell the cannons and hear the people's yells. Long live George Washington, their ghostly voices say. And I still feel his spirit to this very day. And I can see a young boy growing straight and tall. And as I watch him hunt and ride, I've no doubt at all. It won't be long till he's full grown, and then will come the day he'll become the president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. I see him fighting engines up on his great white horse. I feel the loneliness he felt while steering history's course. He was first in war and first in peace, and he was first again in the hearts of everyone of his countrymen. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. Well, in those days at Valley Forge, he held his men in hand. Then crossed the Delaware, and there in Trenton freed this land. He's the father of our country, and to this very day, he's the first and greatest president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. He's the first and greatest president of the USA.
We've got Judge Andrew Napolitano coming up in just a few minutes for a full hour. The back of the book says you've been lied to by the government. Lies the government told you, myth, power, and the deception in American history. That is coming up. We'll talk about a host of issues, the government takeover of health care, all this police state legislation they're trying to ram through to arrest citizens without due process and trial. We'll cover a whole host of issues. And where the Republican Party's going, if it's led by people like Lindsey Graham, you can be assured that the carbon tax, the blanket amnesty for illegals, it's all going to pass. And it's time for people to stop mincing words and stop screwing around. America is falling to corruption right now, and we have to change that. Before we go to break and come back with Judge Andrew Napolitano, I want to encourage all the listeners to visit InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com because we have two new films that are up for pre-sale. If you want to have them first in your mailbox and want to support us financially, and I appreciate all the support, we couldn't do it without all of you out there, then you'll want to go to InfoWars.com and order Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, that really covers who our enemy is, their narcotics trafficking, how they've taken over the government, the roundtable groups, the front groups, all the disgusting pedophiles that are in government. It's all covered in this new film by Jason Burmes, 18 months in the making. Pre-order and watch the trailer for Invisible Empire at InfoWars.com. And Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. I haven't made a Police State film in almost 8 years. It proves the FEMA camps. It shows you the continuity of government system. It documents the Christmas time bomber was a false flag event. It shows the G20 police riot. This is our most powerful Police State film of the previous three. All available at InfoWars.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live. We're now into the second hour. We're going to simulcast the second, third, and fourth hour live at PrisonPlanet.tv for PrisonPlanet.tv members. I want to say hi to all the great radio listeners out there. Well, for the full hour, lies the government told you, myth, power, and deception in American history. Best-selling author Judge Andrew P. Napolitano, forward by Ron Paul. It's hardcover, a thick book, but a great quick read on a host of key issues. He really tells it like it is. He is the most hardcore constitutionalist who never wavers, who is on mainstream television in the United States. He's the best, better than Lou Dobbs, better than anybody out there. And we like Lou Dobbs here. We wish he was back on television. And so we're honored to have him with us to talk about the government takeover of health care, this other draconian legislation introduced by McCain to arrest U.S. citizens and, quote, interrogate them under military control. We're going to go over that. We're going to get into stories out of New Jersey, his home state. Cops in New Jersey town given keys to homes as part of your safety. We have all these Brinks commercials running where it shows a thug busting into a woman's house and she calls 911. How about she shoots him? So we'll talk about the fight between freedom and liberty and the collectivists and the tyrants that are trying to take over our society. And Rush Limbaugh is talking about Obama might try to suspend elections. I mean, they're going to lose, so the only way they could try to get away with this is to suspend elections. They're trying to demonize the Tea Parties, the Patriots. No doubt they're staging many of these brick-through-the-window events. Democrats have been caught doing this before. There is a lot of anger out there. Violence is not the answer. Judge Napolitano, great to have you here with us.
Alex, it's a pleasure. What a fabulous intro, man. I'm riveted listening to you.
Well, we're riveted having you here. Okay, I could bring up a lot of subjects, but what's important to you right now? What's number one on your front burner?
The loss of freedom at the hands of the government, which happens with every tick of the clock. I kiddingly say in the beginning of that book, which you were very kind to mention, Alex, that when I told friends I was writing a book about the government and lies and that it was 4,000 pages long, everybody laughed and said, were you able to get all the lies in the 4,000 pages? Of course, the publisher made me stop at 300 pages, but it shows you the perception that the public has is that the government does lie to us, has been lying to us, and we accept these lies and are willing to laugh about it, even though every one of those lies I talk about in the book, and even many that you just mentioned in the introduction, destroys our liberty, destroys our freedom by inducing us to make political decisions on erroneous information that the government claims is true. And when we give up this liberty and lose this property, we don't get it back.
Absolutely. When we come back, I want to get into the health care bill. I want to talk about what's next for these guys, the blanket amnesty, the national worker ID for citizens that illegals are exempt from. I've read the bill. It's the same thing in this bill, the health care bill. It talks about how we have to have an electronic medical ID card, but it says illegals are, again, exempt from that.
No surprise that they would do something like that in order A, to control us, B, to know where we are and what we're doing, and C, to create a permanent underclass fully dependent upon them. The next thing you know is that they'll allow those folks to vote, and you know which way they'll vote, in favor of the party or the group or the candidate that gives them as big a piece of the pie to which we contribute at the point of a gun.
Judge Andrew Napolitano, the new book, Lies the Government Told You in hardcover, hitting bookstores everywhere. Get it at Amazon.com. We'll tell you about Judge Napolitano's websites as well. We're about to go to break. Long segment coming up, and we will go through the health care bill. We will talk about the Republican Party. Is there any avenue there to try to repeal all this? We'll talk about the constitutionality with our constitutional law expert, Judge Napolitano. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and PrisonPlanet.tv. And don't forget, we also have Jesse Ventura's new book at Infowars.com. You can get it there. American Conspiracies, already number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're back for the rest of the hour. Judge Andrew Napolitano is our guest. The new book, Lies the Government Told You, Myth, Power, and Deception in American History. Judge, I get up here every day and rant and rave and actually cover the laws, the subsections, the bills. I give people chapter and verse, and still some call in and say, are you really telling the truth? Here's page 65 of the signed bill, and it's in section BI, eligibility for health plan. And this is the actual section of the bill, and it says may allow for the use of a machine-readable identification card. And they have another bill where they make citizens have a national ID card to have a job, but the illegals are exempt. And you have a, 8% approval rating for Reid, 10% for Pelosi, 11% for Congress. They know that 80% of the public is against this health care takeover. We know the insurance companies wrote it. It's actually a scam. The establishment knows what they're doing is unconstitutional and lawless, but they're going ahead with it, and that's why Rush Limbaugh, and I agree with him, I'm glad he's really coming out now and telling it like it is,
right,
said that they may suspend elections because he says there's no way they can win, and that it appears they're putting in a police state control grid. But as you know, this was all set up in the last 20, 30 years in this nation. It's bipartisan. Judge Napolitano, what is the state of our union?
Well, the state of our union is that it is a bipartisan movement toward a police state. I mean, we don't have two parties in this country, Alex, even though most people think we do. Your listeners know that we have one party, the big government party. There's a Republican wing that likes war and deficits and assaults our civil liberties. There's a Democratic wing that likes welfare and taxes and assaults our commercial liberties. But they basically will feed each other because they're not interested in freedom. They don't believe in fidelity to the Constitution. They're just interested in power. I mean, on my radio show last month, I asked the number 3 ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives, Congressman Jim Clyburn, Congressman, where in the Constitution is the government authorized to regulate health care? And he said to me, Judge, most of what we do down here, referring to Washington, is not authorized by the Constitution. Where in the Constitution is it prohibited that we regulate health care? The very fact that he would ask that question shows a tremendous 180-degree misunderstanding of the federal government. The Congress is not a general legislature. It doesn't exist in order to right every wrong. It exists only to exercise power in 17 unique, discrete, specific, well-defined, set-out areas in a piece of paper called the Constitution, to which he took an oath to uphold. At least he was candid enough to acknowledge they're not upholding it. But what is to become of us, Alex, if the government decides the extent of its own powers, if the government freely admits it violates its oath to uphold the Constitution, and if whenever financial or civil liberties are involved, both sides of the government, Republican and Democrat, agree. The president signs a new Patriot Act, and he signs it in under cover of darkness because he's afraid those to whom he promised he wouldn't do so might see a picture of him doing it. The president, when he was a senator, blasted George W. Bush for conducting an illegal war. He's killed as many people as Bush ever did and is sending drones to Pakistan in more so in 1 year than Bush did in 8. There is very little change that comes about via elections in this country unless and until people.
Well, there is very little change, Judge. And once they start violating the Bill of Rights and Constitution, the sky is the limit, as you know, as a constitutional law scholar and as a judge. But the general public is just now beginning to discover this. What about last week when they were still trying to just deem and pass this whole thing without even having the House vote on it? I mean, at least we forced them to back off of that, but that gives us a window into their lawless mindset.
Exactly. It shows us that they would cause to become law not only that which they haven't read. And we know they haven't read it because they made promises that their scriveners found out last night aren't in there, but that they haven't even voted on. At least we shamed them into voting on it. At least we know that Bart Stupak is no more pro-life than Barack Obama. At least we know where people truly stand on all of this, because the uproar from people all across the political spectrum forced them to vote. How odd and quaint, Alex, that our representatives should actually vote on something, and that we should be able to know how they voted. You know, when the extension of the Patriot Act was enacted in the Senate, it was done by a voice vote so that no senator was recorded as to how he or she voted on it. And when they changed the definition of the word financial institution to mean a doctor's office, a lawyer's office, the post office, a computer server, anything under the sun which would let them serve a self-written search warrant on it, that vote was taken by voice vote, so there's no record of how anybody voted on it. At least this time we have a record. So when we want to vote the bums out, we know who the bums are.
And on top of that, we have bills in the last decade introduced to make them read the Bills Act, and they fight that tooth and nail.
You know that Ron Paul introduces every year two simple four-line bills. Every member of Congress shall certify under oath that he or she has read a bill before voting for or against it. And every bill, this is the second one, that is introduced must cite in the Constitution the authority for the bill. Neither of those proposals, as simple, basic, and rational as could be, a junior in high school social studies could understand them. Neither of those has seen the light of day. Neither of them ever makes it to a committee for hearing. But there may be some hope, because you could have said the same thing about his proposal to audit the Fed 10 years ago. Now it has passed the House of Representatives. What will happen in the Senate? I don't know. But his persistence has caused the American public to be aware of these things and caused the public to pressure power-hungry members of Congress occasionally to do the right thing.
Judge Andrew Napolitano, as a constitutional expert, as a former judge, reading over the bill and over the subsections, there's so many things that are unconstitutional. And then there's also deception. Even the AP admits this doesn't protect people with self with already existing conditions,
well,
with children.
That is the one that Mrs. Pelosi and company are stumbling over this morning, Alex, because they promised Democrats, and the Democrats promised their constituents, that children with pre-existing conditions would be covered immediately. Now, put aside the fact that the federal government has no authority whatsoever. Take it to the bank. No authority whatsoever to regulate health care and to tell insurance carriers who they may insure.
But even if you're for socialism, this is another ripoff, just like communism under the Soviets was a ripoff, or socialism in England's a ripoff. Anytime they get a big pool of money, they're going to steal most of it. They're not going to give it.
Of course, because sooner or later you run out of other people's money. But in this particular case, they lied to their own people. The
yes.
socialist monstrosity that they passed didn't even have in it the clauses that they used to sell it on the American people. One of which is this: your children will be taken care of from the minute the president signs it. Baloney. They didn't even read what they wrote. They didn't even write what they wrote. They just took passages and put it together. By the way, did you hear who praised the president's signing of this legislation just about 15 minutes before I was happy to come on your air?
Let me guess, Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro praised Obamacare. That's an endorsement if ever there was one.
Well, the state is God under the New World Order system. Let's get into the unconstitutionality of this and how you would attack it. I don't think attorney generals suing or joining their suit is enough. We need to have states nullify under the 9th and 10th Amendment and to not just roll this back, but you're not going to take our highway funds. You're not going to take our education funds. I mean, I think this is a wake-up call for people to really start reversing the fact that for 100-plus years, the federal government has been expanding its authority into areas that are completely illegal.
Well, you know, it's one thing, Alex, for a state legislature and a governor to sign a piece of paper saying we stand on our 10th Amendment and we are a sovereign state. It would be quite another for a state legislature to enact legislation that did the following: prohibit state employees from enforcing federal law, indict federal officials who come into the state with the intention of enforcing federal law that conflicts with state law, impose a real estate tax on federal property within the state. Now, I know that that has been unlawful for the past 200 years, but suffice it to say, we have a different Supreme Court now that might look at this differently. Drag before county and state grand juries federal officers who insist on enforcing federal law that is unconstitutional within the states. The states really have to stand up for their sovereignty. They have to do more than say we are a sovereign state. There has to be teeth to their proclamation of sovereignty. Now, I would like to see the popular election of senators done away with. I would like to see state legislatures send members of the Senate to the Senate, because then they wouldn't be stealing power from the states, or those senators would soon be out of their jobs. The federal government didn't begin to grow to gargantuan proportions until the progressive era, with the popular election of senators who were able to pander to the collectivist impulses of the masses and deliver as big a piece of pie as they could and create the permanent underclass that relied on them for support and returned it with votes.
Very well said. Let's come back and talk about constitutional ways to apply what you just discussed, because right. If we do get the grand juries to start investigations and call for indictments, if we do get the states to pass laws saying our employees will not comply with this, that's all completely constitutional. And other ideas, other solutions, because there's a lot of people listening right now. Folks are paying attention to these issues right now. Folks are angry. Now is the time to take what Judge Napolitano is saying, and I totally agree with him, and to put it into force. Now is the time. The Democrats have said they think you're going to forget about this and they can slowly implement it, and that's how they're going to domesticate us. We say no. My friends, if you've studied history and other empires, nations, republics, corruption grows slowly, like an infection, and then it blooms and the nation falls. And the elites that have become wealthy and powerful will use a police state to try to maintain control of the population that they've robbed. And we've seen a premeditated development of this police state in their internal documents to suppress the American people. It's the same thing worldwide. And now you have these elites going offshore, forming a global government, openly saying a bank of the world that you will pay all your carbon taxes to. We're going to talk about that in the next segment with Judge Andrew Napolitano, author, a best-selling author of multiple books. His new book is out. We'll tell you about the book and get into it before he leaves us. But getting back into solutions on this Obamacare, Judge,
right?
Am I right in saying that this is pretty much the make-it-or-break-it issue? If we give into this and if we can't defeat this, then the sky's the limit for these tyrants.
It is. And Vice President Biden admitted as much yesterday when he said if we hadn't passed this, we would have been toothless. And now that we've passed this, we have a lot else that we need to do. First of all, we know that the next 8 months is going to be a rush to legislation, because they know, they're not stupid, they know that they will never have the majorities in the Congress after November, if there is a November election, that they have now. So they're going to try and regulate as much as they can in the next 8 months. But think about how insidious this is. The Supreme Court has ruled countless times that the most private conversation you have, the one most utterly immune from governmental intrusion, is with your physician, more so than with your spouse. It's with your physician. This legislation purports with the stroke of a pen to do away with generations of that protection by putting a federal bureaucrat between you and your physician and permitting the bureaucrat to dictate to the physician what services are available to you and how much money is available for those services.
And it says they can share it with any federal agency they want.
And it says that those decisions by the bureaucrat are not appealable. Everything under the sun that the government does, except the Supreme Court, because that's the last appeal, is appealable. But this legislation says it's not appealable. So they violate your right to privacy. They violate your right to talk to your physician without the government there. They violate your right to the privacy of your medical records. They decide how much money is available to pay your physician for the services that you may need. Is this the government that the framers gave us? Or is this, as you say, Alex, so nicely, the breaking point? Is this the point beyond which they cannot go? Now, that leads us to the constitutional challenges. To me, the violation of privacy and the order that all Americans shall purchase something, whether they want it, need it, can afford it, already have it or not, purchase something that the government approves of, are the two most obvious unconstitutional aspects of this. There are many others. It's against the Constitution for the Congress to tell a state legislature how it must legislate and how it must spend. That's called commandeering the legislature. That's been prohibited for many years, but the Congress does it and gets away with it anyway. But
Hold on. That's another key point you just rattled off. Is that, and we've heard the state legislatures and governors and attorney generals talk about this, and it's in the bill, that it in some cases doubles the amount of money that states must levy to give to Medicare and Medicaid?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Now, normally, when the Congress wants to control a state legislature, it bribes it. So, for example, did you ever wonder why speed limits are the same all around the country? Did you ever wonder why the blood alcohol content in a person's veins sufficient to charge them for drunk driving is the same in every state? Did all 50 states just magically adopt the same standards? No. The Congress adopted the standards, was told by its lawyers these standards wouldn't fly because the Constitution doesn't authorize the Congress to do this. So the Congress went to the states and said, here's hundreds of millions of dollars to repave your highways. But if you accept this money, you have to legislate about speed limits and blood alcohol content as we want. That's a bribe. If you or I, Alex, or anybody listening to us now went to a state legislature and said, here's cash, now write the law the way I want it, we would be arrested, and rightly so, for attempted bribery. In this case, with this health care legislation, there is no bribe. There is an outright command from the Congress to the state legislatures. You shall license more physicians. You shall spend more money. When the Congress does that, that's called commandeering a state legislature. And the Supreme Court in the past 15 years has twice prohibited the Congress from doing that. So that's another unconstitutional aspect of this. It invades an area of state sovereignty, the regulation of the medical profession, reserved to the states.
So we're right back to the Declaration of Independence, where they talk about unelected governors coming in and overriding the legislatures, commanding them, taxation without representation. The Democrats know this is all illegal, and I guess that's why Limbaugh and others are openly saying they may try martial law. Now they want to take over the internet with cybersecurity. We'll talk about it all straight ahead. Stay with us. Scores of new taxes. 16,500 plus IRS agents. They decide what type of medical care you're allowed to have under insurance. They then tax your medical savings accounts. It forces the working poor to go out and get insurance. It lowers the quality of the standards. Judge Andrew Napolitano is our guest. Judge, you're right when you make the point. This is the mad rush. And now that they've already done something this unpopular and committed political suicide, Kerry's saying, hey, we got to go ahead and pass the carbon tax. We got to go ahead and pass blanket total amnesty. We've got to go ahead and pass cybersecurity, which even the Associated Press says allows Obama to completely shut the web off if he so chooses. They want to pass the new Enemy Belligerence Act that says for any intelligence value or such other matters as the president considers, you may be secretly arrested and interrogated and held. I mean, they are, and Lindsey Graham is arguing for similar legislation.
Do you know how hideous that piece of legislation it is? It actually says the only way you can get out of military confinement and even appear before a judge, Alex, is if the House and Senate Intelligence Committees vote to let you out. What a perversion of our system of justice that instead of having judges say to the government, thou shalt not violate the right of any person, because the Constitution protects persons, not just good persons and not just Americans, but all persons, they would have themselves, politicians, assume the judicial role and decide who can get away from the waterboarding and into a federal prison instead.
This is an orgy of power grabbing.
Yes, it is.
By the executive and
yes, it is.
The legislative. And again, I hear all these neocons on radio and TV saying, oh, we don't want to let Al-Qaeda go. But the point is, we know that all of this is written and we have the Homeland Security internal documents. This whole thing is designed and pointed at returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. This is for the American people.
You know, when Janet, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Janet, what's her name, announced that the most dangerous people on the planet were the groups you just indicated. Right-to-lifers, people who believe in the Second Amendment, returning veterans from the wars, people who think taxes are too high and the government is too onerous. I got in an argument on air with one of my Fox colleagues who said to me, well, she knows that you are in favor of Second Amendment rights, and she knows you're pro-life, and she knows you're against the IRS, but how does she know who that everybody else feels that way? I said, because she can capture, her agents can capture every keystroke on your computer. How can she do that? He says, because she has the power under the Patriot Act, which you, I won't tell you which Fox colleague this was, but you can probably guess, which you supported when your guy, George W. Bush, was in the White House. Now it's in the hands of those who would use this power against you. What are you, crazy? Don't you realize liberty, once given up and put in the hands of the government as power, never comes back? When will they learn? When will they learn, Alex? The Patriot Act wasn't enough for them to learn from. Now it's being used on them, the neocons themselves. This monstrosity from McCain and Lindsey Graham, where they can lock up any American they want and waterboard the person until the legislature says to stop. This is not America.
This is not America. Let's talk about the heart and soul of the Republican Party. The leadership predominantly are, as you said, just the other wing of the big government party. They're the twins.
Right.
And
I'll
everywhere.
If George W. Bush had proposed Obamacare, the Republicans that are screaming the loudest now would be supporting it. That's what I think of their fidelity to the Constitution, to the primacy of the individual, and to the free market. To them, it's just a game of R versus D. It has nothing to do with the natural law or human liberty. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I wanted to get that in because
it infuriates me when Republicans
claim to be pure here. They're no more pure than the other side. They just happen to be in the minority, so it's convenient and comfortable for them to oppose this monstrosity.
Well, I agree with you. Let me then pose the question this way for you. We've seen top Republican strategists come out against Rand Paul and say they've got to defeat them. They're now allowing the head election official who's running against Rand Paul and the Republican Party to not recuse himself but run the election that he himself is running in.
Correct.
The Associated Press. So I want to get your take on that. We have all these other Republican strategists demonizing the Tea Parties, demonizing the birthers. We know his name's Barry Sitaro. We know he gave up his citizenship and became an Indonesian, regardless of what happened in Kenya, and where there's smoke, there's fire. We know that the mainline blue blood leadership is attempting to demonize and shut down debate and stop the American people from using the Republican Party to take our country back. What are your expert recommendations? Because those were, I mean, absolutely spot on earlier on what the state should do with Obamacare. What is your recommendation for the American people to not just let the Republicans play the part of opposition and then get in power and basically go along with all this?
I think the American people should vote out of office and aggressively hound out of office, lawfully, obviously, not only everyone who voted for Obamacare, but everyone who voted for TARP, proposed by George W. Bush, everyone who voted for the first two stimuluses that we've had in the past 4 years, which came from George W. Bush, everyone who voted for the Patriot Act, which came from George W. Bush, everyone who voted for any tax increase. Now, that would be about 93% to 94% of the Congress. These people's voting records must be revealed. The collusion of Rand Paul being forced to run against the guy who was in charge of counting the ballots. Even Joe Stalin wouldn't have been so bold as to do that. He would have put a crony in to count the ballots. But in Kentucky, the Republicans are forcing Rand Paul to run against the guy who will decide who wins the election. The American public cannot put up with that. They need to file lawsuits. They need to listen to you. They need to listen to what I attempt to do at Fox. They need to educate themselves. They need to know what their rights are. And they cannot take this sitting down. Now, Alex, you know I have been privileged to be the keynote speaker at many of these tea parties. These folks are not going away. They are not going to be co-opted by the Republicans. They are as much a threat to the Republican leadership, thank God, as they are to the Democratic leadership, because they understand that the Constitution was written to keep the government off the people's backs, not to find sneaky ways for the government to do it and get away with it.
Let's expand into Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son. I mean, sure. In many polls, he's 10 points ahead.
Right.
He's a shoo-in to win. And this illustrates, and the Republican leadership admits this, this isn't just an anti-Democrat incumbency. This is an anti-incumbent, period. And the guy he's running against is getting all this AIG banker money. He's a globalist. And then meanwhile, he's going to run the election. And I talked to Rand Paul's people 2 days ago, and they talked about, they went to the commission and they said unanimously, no, he can run your election. But then we looked at past rulings in other states. They've always said someone has to recuse themselves if they're the state's head election official. And are running. I mean, again, it just shows how every form of common sense and checks and balances are being removed. And when you have a real constitutionalist running for an office, in come the Republican Party to try to destroy them.
They fear someone like Rand Paul just as much as they fear his father, Ron Paul, because of their utter fidelity to the Constitution and to the natural law and to the belief that the individual is greater than the government. Even in my home state of New Jersey, notorious for corruptions and political prosecutions, it is against the law for the collector of the ballots to be on the ballot when he's collecting them. It's almost inconceivable that this could be happening in Kentucky right underneath our noses and the courts won't interfere with it. Listen, I think that Rand Paul will win the primary and will win the election and will be an unbelievable asset in the United States Senate in spite of this. I can't advise him as to whether or not he should file a lawsuit. Candidly, I don't think he needs to do so. But there is a general principle of law that if the government's behavior appears to be in a conflict, then the person that is creating the appearance of a conflict should step back. This guy can run against Rand Paul, or this guy can count the votes in the election that Rand Paul is running in. But nobody in their right mind would say that he could do both at the same time and be absolutely honest. That's too much of a temptation for a human being to have to endure and for the electorate to have to abide by.
Well, I mean, you've got all the election officials under him that are being promised jobs in the U.S. Senate.
Absolutely. They're all political appointees, Alex. So he can take them to, well, he's not going to go to the Senate, but he can promise to take them to the Senate with him. So will they look the other way when a group of absentee ballots suddenly disappears into the river or suddenly shows up in somebody's trunk? This will force Dr. Paul, Rand Paul, to hire more poll watchers, to hire more people to watch the government, because the government cannot be trusted to run an honest election, because the guy running the election is running against Rand Paul. This is just absurd.
Well, I mean, if this precedent gets set, this new corrupt precedent, pretty soon the only people that can get elected anywhere will be the head of elections. Suddenly, that'll be the only person that can run and win, and Then they'll become kings, and their kids will be the only ones that can win.
Sort of like Alexander Hamilton when he wanted George Washington to be a king. You know what I think will happen? Rand Paul wins by such a large number that all of their sneaking and trickery will not be enough to affect the outcome. And this collector of ballots who also wants to be on the Senate will be relegated to the dustbin of history where he belongs.
Well, we're already running out of time. It's always amazing having him. We got 15 minutes left here. I want to get into the book, Lies the Government Told You. But first, specifically, the Democrats and Lindsey Graham, the Republicans, they all know that carbon dioxide isn't bad. They all know that China isn't going to make the cuts. They all know that this will be industrial suicide. And we have all these big environmentalists saying they want to destroy our economy. Why does government want to destroy the economy?
Government wants to control us because of what St. Augustine called libido dominandi. Look, we all know about certain types of libido. This is a lust for power. Before the Civil War, we sent people to our state houses and to Congress who were interested in liberty, who were concerned with confining the government, with assuring that it did not interfere with our natural rights, with our civil liberties, and with our property rights. Since the Civil War, we have sent people to the government. By and large, there are exceptions both before the Civil War and afterwards. But by and large, people who are not interested in liberty, but people who are interested in power, power for its own sake, power in and of itself, power to control other people. Government attracts those who lust for power. Ron Paul and Rand Paul and Ron Paul's colleagues in the House, and if there are any in the Senate, I'm unaware of them, are the exception to the rule. But for the most part, this is the type of human being that the government attracts. And this type of illicit aggregation of power gets worse and worse and worse, because when they get power, they hand it off to their successors, just like Mike Chertoff handed it off to Janet Napolitano. And I know what you're thinking. The answer is no. We are not related. This happens generation after generation after generation. That's why I am not optimistic about our future, because it will take a generation of Drs. Paul to change this, to stop it, to reverse it.
Well, that's what G. Edward Griffin and others have said, though. We have to have the long view of history. We're not going to beat these people overnight. We've got to do everything we can and start resisting now just to slow it down and then stop it and then start reversing it. But the good news is this has really opened people's eyes up. The carbon taxes, the open borders, the takeover of the health care bill, the fact that it is just pure robbery, not even, you know, benevolent socialism, which is an oxymoron.
Right.
Do you agree, though, that the battle lines are now drawn and that the awakening is exploding?
I do, and I believe that the great mass of independent voters are on the side of liberty in this. I believe that the average man and woman who accepted the government for what it was now fear it and now need to understand that they can change it. When I told a crowd in Florida the other night that we have the power to abolish the IRS, the place went wild with enthusiasm. And a couple people said to me, I didn't know that. I thought it was in the Constitution. I thought we had to have income taxes. We have the power, if we work hard enough and educate ourselves, to throw the yoke of tyranny off of us.
That okay, means- Judge, I'm going to give you the floor for the last 12 minutes. And we're going to skip this network break coming up. I'm going to sit back, and I want you to give us a speech, a rant, cover the book, any issues you want to cover, and I'll say bye to you, because I always get so intrigued, and I want to back up what you're saying. I'm always adding things. I want, at the end of the interview, shut up. But before we do that, I want to encourage viewers to support this radio show and to support our films. We have two new films coming out in the middle of April. Order them at InfoWars.com, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. You'll also see them premiere at PrisonPlanet.tv in super high quality. But go buy the DVDs, make copies, give them to everyone you know, because one of the most effective things that we have ever done is these films. And this unlocks people's minds. It shows them the predatory nature of this global elite. Please go to InfoWars.com, purchase the books, the videos, the materials, because they're key tools to wake your friends and family up, and it supports this broadcast. Now, the only caveat or proviso, and I'm going to sit back and shut up, Judge, is before you get into the book and taxes and the nature of slavery and bondage, and we what we're truly going under. Global government is openly being announced. Why do you think they're finally admitting that, okay, it's a world government, it's going to be run by banks? And what is the nature of this world government from your research? And then tie that in to the overarching system of why they want a global government so no one can run and flee and set up societies that are free, because then that competes with the collectivist and outshines them in every case. So speak to that, and then you've got the floor in the last 11 minutes on any issue you want to cover.
Oh, you are so kind and so generous to me, Alex, and I'm deeply grateful to be here. Look, I'm just a simple night watchman that's employed by Fox. My job is to watch the government in the nighttime when it doesn't think that people are watching it and doesn't want people to look at it, to see what it is doing to steal our freedom and to steal our property. The one world government has been around since the progressive era. And you're right, Alex, these people are enormously patient. Obviously, the people who came up with this concept are no longer with us, but their successors are. They are wealthier, they are more sophisticated, and they are just as committed as their predecessors were. They simply want control. They want power for the joy of exercising power in and of itself. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. They don't want to have to answer to voters. They don't want to have to answer to a constitution that limits their behavior. They want to be able to take whatever property they can, whether they call it eminent domain, whatever they want to call the process by which they take it. They want to protect us cradle to grave so that we are totally dependent upon them for everything, so they can decide who will be in their group and who won't. If you read George Orwell's 1984, he was just off by a couple of years, but almost everything that was in there was predicted, and we see it now. The use of law to assault liberty and to steal property. Do you remember, Alex, studying basic American history? The King of England had ingenious ways to tax us. The last straw was the Stamp Act. It required that every colonist have on every piece of paper in his or her home a stamp. Every book, every bank draft, every mortgage, every lease, every deed, every pamphlet, even a poster that was going to be nailed to a tree had to have the king's stamp on it. Imagine having to go, we have enough difficulties with the post office as it is, you had to go to a foreign post office in the colonies and buy the king's stamp. Question, how did the government know if you had the king's stamp on every piece of paper in your house? Answer, the Parliament enacted the Townshend Acts, which permitted British soldiers to write their own search warrants, and thus they would show up at your home and hand you a piece of paper on which they had purported to authorize themselves to enter your home, ostensibly to look for the stamps. Of course, they would confiscate alcohol, they would confiscate furniture which you couldn't demonstrate you had paid taxes on, they would even sometimes kick you out of the house and take it over for days or weeks or months. We fought a revolution. We won the revolution. We wrote a constitution. We added the Fourth Amendment to that constitution, which next to the right to life is the greatest right there is, the right to be left alone. And it says the government can't come onto your property and can't seize what you have and can't intrude into your privacy unless it goes to a judge and demonstrates to a neutral judge that it is more likely than not that you are committing crime. Fast forward 200 years to the Patriot Act. What does the Patriot Act do? It allows federal agents to write their own search warrants. We have elected a government that has done the very same thing to us, which was the last straw when we broke away from an island 3,000 miles away that was regulating us as if we were chattel and as if we were slaves to them. When Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence the words that every school child knows, Alex, by heart, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, he wedded the American soul to the idea of the natural law, that our rights come from nature, from our humanity, that we are created in the image and likeness of God, and as He is perfectly free, He has given us the gift of perfect freedom. in Philadelphia in 1787 when they argued all summer about how the government should look and what the Constitution should be, they began with an argument about what is the source of our rights. And Alexander Hamilton, the big government guy of the day, the guy who said debt was good, even in 1787, argued that without the government there can be no rights, and the same government that gives rights can take them away. Madison refuted him toe-to-toe, point-to-point, and said our rights come from our humanity. Madison won. Read the First Amendment. It doesn't say Congress shall grant freedom of speech. It says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Why do I emphasize the word the? Because the framers recognized that freedom of speech preexisted the government, preexisted the country, came by virtue of our birth. And the purpose of the First Amendment was to assure that Congress, and ultimately the president, and eventually the courts, and one day the states, could not interfere with the basic freedoms. The right to think as you wish, the right to say what you think, the right to publish what you say, the right to worship or not to worship, the right to come and go as you see fit, the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, the right to defend yourself, Alex, by any technologically advanced means that are available at any given time, which includes the right to shoot at the government when it is taken over by tyrants. And then, of course, the right to be left alone in the Fourth Amendment. All of these rights are natural to us. And every person in the government takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, meaning upholding the inviolability of these rights. But in my years on the bench, and I write about this in the book, every time the government was in front of me, Alex, it wasn't to enforce the Constitution. It wasn't to protect someone's rights. It was to find some sneaky or ingenious way to get around the Constitution, but claim that they were enforcing it. Now, my new book, and I'm very happy to tell you that as of a few minutes ago, it's number 13 on the New York Times bestseller list. That doesn't mean the Times approves of the book, hardly. It means that the most public counter of book sales is ranking me number 13, which is very good because then it gets published in that list. And a lot of folks that don't watch Fox or listen to Alex Jones or don't know me will be exposed to the book. The book posits the following. Why do we expect that the government will lie? Why do we know that the government lies and do nothing about it? Would Lyndon Johnson have beaten Barry Goldwater in 64 if we knew that he was secretly planning to invade North Vietnam as he accused Goldwater of doing? Would FDR have been elected in 44, reelected in 44, if the public had known that he caused Pearl Harbor because he needed an excuse to enter World War II? Would George W. Bush have been reelected in 2004 if people knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and that he knew it and ought to have known it, that he was torturing people and lying about it, that he was listening to people's phone calls and capturing their computer strokes, all in violation of federal law? That's what the book challenges Americans, Alex, to be aware of, to recognize, to reject, and to correct. My dear friend, I've enjoyed all my time with you.
And in closing, why do we put up with the lying? Why have we gotten to a point where it's just accepted they lie? But then that 20% that supports the government health bill still believe they're getting something free. And the system is going for broke because they passed the point of no return. They have committed so many crimes. They're so lawless. They've stolen so much. They know the country's going bankrupt. Bloomberg reports the feds are openly getting ready to take pension funds to fund their operations and to fund the banks. They have decided to go all the way, just like Hitler or Stalin or Mao. And it's time for the public to wake up. I mean, you mentioned the Stamp Act. Here is New Jersey CBS Television, CBS TV, WCBS. Cops in New Jersey town given keys to homes, and the cops are saying, we're putting keys on all your doors, and that we are now going to go into your house to make sure you're safe. And now they have zoning laws in Illinois and other places where people wake up and they do inspections without asking to see how many toothbrushes you have to make sure that you don't have more people in your house than you're zoned for. It is incredible. Judge Andrew Napolitano, I want to really thank you for joining us. and spending time with us. Fire out your website.
Judge Knapp at FoxNews.com. Alex, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for letting me share these airwaves with your wonderful listeners.
We appreciate you never compromising and being a true constitutionalist. God bless and Godspeed. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
President Obama and his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, have repeatedly stated on the record that all Americans below the age of 64 will be forcibly conscripted into federal service.
Citizenship is not an entitlement program. It comes with responsibilities. Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense.
Now, it doesn't always have to be service in uniform. One of the things that if you talk to our generals, they are desperate for is a civilian counterpart to our military forces.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in the sense it's a required of everybody, 18 to 25, 3 months, and at some point at that point you do it. Obviously, I'm not going to sit here with perfect legislation. We'll work that process through.
You could do it during a college summer, right. Or you could do it after anytime. High school.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
Obama's transition site, change.gov, proclaimed that middle school and high school students will be forced to serve the federal government.
Fascism is gutter up, streets up, hooligans, thugs, fervently idealistic students, swarming adolescents, just the kind of thing you see around Obama. The way you get a population to enslave itself when the police and the army are no longer enough to do that. So I think if you're a left liberal, it's time to open your eyes to that.
All young Americans between the ages of 18 and 24 will be conscripted into a paramilitary domestic security force. If Obama has his way, adults and seniors will also be forced into other forms of service for the betterment of the homeland. Number 3, disarming the American people. Obama operatives in the Congress have introduced more than 10 bills that would end the Second Amendment as we know it. H.R. 1022 would allow the new Attorney General Eric Holder the dictatorial power to ban any gun he wishes at will. In 2008, before the Supreme Court, in the D.C. gun ban case, District of Columbia versus Heller, Holder argued for the complete disarmament of the American people and that only the military should own firearms. H.R. 257 would ban all youth shooting sports, including YMCA and Youth Olympic Shooting Clubs. H.R. 45 would force all gun owners to undergo federal psychological screening, registration and testing to keep their firearms. White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel has proposed the extrajudicial banning of any American on the fraudulent no-fly list from owning any firearm.
That is, if you are on the no-fly list because you are known as maybe a possible terrorist, you cannot buy a handgun in America.
Over 25,000 Americans are added each month to the no-fly list, which numbers over 1 million people who have not been charged or convicted of any crime.
It's a case of mistaken identity for a 5-year-old boy from Normandy Park. He had trouble boarding a plane because someone with his same name is wanted by the federal government. King 5's Mimi Jung is live at SeaTac Airport to explain. Mimi.
Lori, folks, I just played 4.5 minutes from the Obama deception, a 2-hour film, just to give you an idea. The whole film is that jam-packed with tyranny, in their own words. And I have these idiot Obama supporters sending me emails. I played that because I got one yesterday saying I'm lying about them wanting to have National Forest Service, which is total slavery, just like the health care bill. We're going to come back, cover tons of news, and take your phone calls. Wide open phones at 800-259-9231. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I'm going to go to your phone calls right now. And then later in the hour, I'm going to get into the bill that Obama signed versus what's happening right now in the Senate. And try to break that down. Other nightmare provisions we've now found in the bill. It just gets worse by the day. I'm trying to wade through this 2,700 pages. I see other breakdowns of it. I go double check what the media is saying, if it's accurate or not. This bill was even worse than we originally thought, if that is possible. There's loopholes exempting Washington insiders from Obamacare mandate. I've got a bunch of amazing police state news that we need to go over as well. And I want to talk about these Brinks commercials for a segment or so in the last hour today. Because I don't watch a lot of TV, but we have TV ons in a few different office areas to monitor things here in our studios. And I see these Brinks commercials where a woman's having a party, everybody's leaving the party, and her girlfriends are saying, "Who is this guy?" "Oh, we don't know." And as soon as she locks the door, he comes hatefully and knocks the window in, and then the alarm goes off, and so that makes him run away. And then she calls 911. Well, Matt Ryan, here in my office, with one of his family members over the weekend, they had somebody calling up some of his relatives threatening to come attack him. This guy had been convicted multiple times of attacking people. They called the police five times over several hours. He was coming to saying, "I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to hurt you. I'm coming to." And he came, beat a woman up with a chain, beat her bloody, and then the police showed up. And I made the point, well, why didn't your relatives have a gun? Well, they were scared of guns. And it's because of the media. I see these images on the news of when somebody's breaking into your house, you call 911. The cops, under federal and state rulings, literally thousands of times, it's more than a couple thousand, just in the state of Texas, it has been found that they have no liability to protect you. And conversely, they have no right to keep you from protecting yourself. And most police understand that. But the bureaucrats want you disarmed. And in England, if you stab an intruder or even beat him up, or one guy threw a guy through a second door window and he broke his legs, and then the police arrested the homeowner that defended themselves, they want you domesticated, servile, on your back. They want the instinct for you to take action and protect yourself to be extinguished. Every few days I see articles in England, Canada, the U.S., and other Western nations where a young woman will be stabbed on a busy street and bleed to death over 4 hours. Or a woman will be beaten with a lead pipe in Toronto on a busy street, and office workers laughed at her naked body for hours and didn't even call the cops. Or in a case a few years ago, an Austin cop at the corner of I-35 and William Cannon was hit by a car and laid bleeding to death in a pile of fire ants for over an hour, and no one called the police. So this domestication, I've told the story about 6-7 years ago. I was at a La Madeleine restaurant. And I went to the bathroom, and when I came out, there was a big commotion a few tables over from where my wife and son were, my toddler son, wasn't even a toddler, he was tiny. And I said, "What's going on?" This big crowd of about 20 people, and they said, "She's choking, call 911. Everybody had their cell phones out calling 911, and I said, "Well, here, let me do the Heimlich maneuver." And they almost fought me. They're like, "Wait a minute, buddy, well, you know, wait, don't, you know, wait for the police." And I started yelling at him, "She'll be dead in 4 minutes. And I had to actually shove people out of the way, and they were getting angry. And I had to get on over her, get my hands around her, do the Heimlich, and a big piece of bread came out. She was purple. She was starting to collapse on the table. And I talk a lot about this because this is why we're slaves. This is why we're in so much trouble. For me, if I know the Heimlich maneuver, they gave us a half-day course on swim team, you know, when I was like 12 years old. If I know the Heimlich maneuver on an adult or a baby, if I know CPR, I'm not going to call 911, and the police will try to show up, the fire department and the EMS will try to show up. But I see these cases now in the news every few days where people stand and watch someone bleed to death. They don't put a tourniquet on some guy's leg that's been chopped off in a construction accident. They don't help an old lady who's just been mugged. They don't want to get involved. They're narcissistic, they're selfish, and they don't see themselves in the position as taking action. They see themselves as drones or spectators in society. So I'm going to talk about this with Matt Ryan for about 20 minutes or so, coming up in the next hour after we take calls and cover other important news. But I watch these Brinks commercials, which are conditioning, where over and over again it shows the evil man coming and trying to hurt you. And the women, you know, the ad should be for Smith & Wesson and show the woman shooting him. Smith & Wesson, by the way, would sell millions of guns. And the good news is a lot of women are figuring this out, and they're actually out buying guns. I mean, I have two daughters, and, you know, one of them's five. She's already learned how to shoot. The two-year-old, you know, she's not old enough yet. But when my daughters go away to college or go away to get married or to work in another city, they're going to go to a city where there's still a Second Amendment, if we still have it. Or they're going to end up illegally owning guns, even if they're banned. My daughters aren't, and my son, aren't going to sit in their apartments or their houses waiting to be raped or robbed, waiting to be hogtied and tortured. And it's so fundamental, because I'm not domesticated. I'm a wild human. I have my instincts. I have my common sense. And I don't know how women out there and men have been trained to... Somebody calls and says, I'm coming over there to attack you. They wouldn't come if they knew you had a gun, number one. And I wouldn't go out and look for trouble, but if somebody, I'd let them, you know, start banging on the door, and I'd get down on my knees at the end of the hall waiting, and as soon as that door busted open, I'm going to unload every round right into them. But it's the same attitude of not getting involved in politics, not getting informed, not knowing your congressman's voting record, not standing up against tyranny, not going to town hall meetings and shouting these scum down. It's this attitude that somebody else, I mean, I get thousands of emails every year, literally thousands, and hundreds of phone calls. You've heard them on air saying, I'm glad you're there doing this for us. I'm glad you're there. I can sleep better at night. What do you mean? You know this information, and some of you aren't taking action because you think I'm going to fix it? What has happened to people that they would sit there, and Gerald Celente told the same story. How? He said, is there a doctor in the house first? And no one in the restaurant said there's a doctor in the house, a packed restaurant. Then he found out after the fact there was a doctor, but they didn't want to get involved. But then meanwhile, there are some people who want to get involved, and the government recruits them who mean well to be tattletales, to be spies. Everything is a counterfeit, or everything is twisted around backwards. And people have been made to believe that some specialist, a cop or an EMT or somebody else is going to be there for them. The police, on average, take 12 minutes. In fact, that's a few years old. Google average 911, national average, national 911 average police response time. Last time I saw it, it was 12 minutes, 30-something seconds. But it may have changed. The point is that in 12 minutes, anything can happen. And the police may be tied down in other events, and they can't make it. You know, the more police we get, the more crime we have. Look at Chicago. Look at New York. More police than any other cities in the country. More crime. All right, I'm done ranting about this. I said I'd cover it next hour. I'm already getting it. Now they say 6 minutes. I wonder what source that's from, though, because of the net. 6 minutes to live or die. The price of just a few seconds lost, people die. That's USA Today. Most of the numbers I've seen are over 10 minutes. But okay, 6 minutes. 6 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. You've got seconds. Everybody needs to buy guns. You need to take shooting lessons. You need to get an instant access pistol safe. You just go, the drawer pops open. If you have children in the house, you want the gun safe. If you don't have children, have it in a drawer. And I sleep so good at night when I get death threats and people saying they're going to come to my house and do things. You come to my house, you're dead. I'm red-blooded. I'm not a slave. I'm not a coward. I'm going to defend myself. But it's not even being brave. It's self-preservation. I mean, you can corner a raccoon. And if you try to go and grab it, it's going to bite you. It's going to attack you. It's vicious. You try to corner a dog. You try to corner a rat. You try to corner a rabbit, it will bite you. Humans are losing their humanity. We're told to be a bunch of cowardly jellyfish to lay down to anything and everything and don't get involved and sit on your butt and watch TV. But meanwhile, the specialists in government, they're taught to be more vicious and pain compliance and torture and to attack the citizens and that it's virtuous. So they get more militarized. They get more out of control. They get more hateful. They're taught we're basically the enemy. And then we're taught not even to defend ourselves. Stan, Darnie, Leif, Fred, and Leo, I'm going directly to your calls in the next segment on any issue you wish to discuss, healthcare, you name it. And then later in the hour, I'm going to start getting into some other news. In the next hour, a big news blitz and a guest here in studio. But we have to find our humanity again. We have to find our humanity again as a population, as a people. We have to learn that it's our job to protect ourselves, and it's our job to provide ourselves health care, and it's our jobs to have family, to have children to take care of you when you get old. The state isn't going to do it. That's common sense. That's history. That's the facts. The government doesn't want to run your life because they care about you. They're criminal, social engineer, control freaks who enjoy sadistically running your life and poisoning your water and food supply on record, White House science czar, to hurt you. This is the facts. We'll be back with your phone call straight ahead. Infowars.com.
Well, you were sleeping.
They came and took it all away.
They came and took it all.
Powerful interests want to seize governments. If you control the government, you have unbelievable power and wealth. This is history. U.S. Senate just passed the reconciliation bill and is sending it back to the House of Representatives. We're trying to find out exactly what extra goodies they added to this. Unbelievable. You now have the president signing things before they're even fully passed. Right now, let's go to Stan in Missouri. Stan, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Alex. You've been right on target with what you've been talking about today. I tell you what's happened to our country, and it's no fault of yours, it's no fault of Joyce Riley's, it's no fault of any talk show host. What's happened, Alex, is we've lulled ourselves into a false sense of security. And what I mean by a false sense of security, when nothing happened with Y2K, people were looking at Al Cuppet with 350,000 foreign troops to come in and take us over. And when nothing happened with this, people just gave up, Alex. They're looking for a Red Dawn scenario.
I agree with you. People are looking for an overnight takeover. This is a creeping, incremental death.
You just don't come into a country and take it over overnight, Alex. You have to implement these plans that they've implemented in these foreign lands like Cuba for years. I mean, Castro, he might have come in and took over, but they had to implement their brainwashing indoctrination centers and all that. You had a friend of mine who was a guest on your show years ago by the name of Jeff Colin. Jeff Colin knows what it's like to live under communism, Alex. These people in this country are spoiled rotten. They have no concept what it's like to live under socialist order.
We know big government is hellish, and I appreciate your call. Those that have studied history know that, but the public, who don't help people when they're bleeding on the side of the street, don't help women being attacked by thugs. Remember, what was it, more than 10 years ago? For week after week in New York City and Central Park, hordes of 500 to 1,000 men, there were different size crowds. We could pull up that video. I bet it's on YouTube. Rapes in Central Park. In fact, try to pull it up. And the police, I would imagine you'd search it under police refuse to help women being sexually assaulted in Central Park. That'll pull it up. And the cops would just stand around in a circle around the rapers and let them do it. Because the cops are drawn from the very same people that fill up this country. And the public just expects somebody else to save them, and they don't know what's about to happen to them. Let's talk to Darnie in Oklahoma. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the airport scannings. About 3 years ago, someone who is very close to me who works with TSA told me that they had a special meeting that they were putting devices in the headrest of the airplane seats to monitor brain waves.
Yes, I saw that a few months ago, and I forgot to cover it. They're going to have cameras in the airplanes that scan your eyes, that look for aggressive movements. Again, they've proven that lie detectors are a fraud, and now they're just getting fancier quackery. They have mobile Homeland Security 18-wheeler trailers that put you in a brain scanner and ask you questions and then say you're guilty. And I did see the report of they're going to monitor brain waves in the seats of the aircraft. Hell, if you let them put your kids through a naked body scanner, if you let them grope your body, I mean, they now squeeze the woman and squeeze the man and grab your genitals, then the sky's the limit.
Exactly. And I wanted to ask you another thing. Did you have any intentions of covering the concentration camps that the United States has ready for us?
Well, ma'am, I made three police state films that cover that from the Congressional Record and the documents from the government. And I've made a fourth police state film. It's been almost 8 years since I made one. It's available to be ordered now at InfoWars.com, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. And it completely proves it. No conspiracy theory here, all conspiracy fact. It's a two-hour, 20-plus-minute film. About 35 minutes of it is the FEMA camps. All proven. It debunks Glenn Beck putting out disinfo, saying that it doesn't exist. It covers the COG, continuity of government, how the takeover plan has happened. It's all covered in Police State 4. And sure, you know all about the FEMA camps, but your neighbors, your friends, your families don't see how it ties into the gun confiscation, how it ties into the clergy response teams, how it ties into the executive orders. I mean, the film covers it all. False flag terror, everything. Riot police, federally controlled, trying to set up our cameramen as terrorists. It's all on video in Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, available at InfoWars.com right now. And you'll get it first. It ships out in the middle of April. So get your orders in now. It will ship to you first and then make copies of it and give it to everyone you know. Almost 8 years since I made one of these. 8 years of info, all the latest information in this film. In fact, let's cue up the trailer. We'll play it for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, audio for the radio listeners when we come back.
Shut up from the sound. arriving in Pittsburgh for the G20 summit are finding a city on lockdown.
And that's when my eardrums were blasting. And as that happened, I basically turned around, saw about 40 riot police assisted by military.
They're closing in. Run! Get out! Hold you!
This is why the weak state was fought!
You must leave the city.
This was the talk of the town in Hardin on Thursday. Mercedes decked out in the City of Hardin Police Department decals and driven by American Police Force members.
We're not disclosing the name of our parent company.
We know the guy that owns the company, but we've never seen this name before.
Excuse me, you just dropped a bomb on us. This is Red Dawn, foreign mercenary group admitted, driving around doing police work with Hardin Police next to their American Police Force logo. This is insane.
Passengers describe a terror attack and the arrest of a suspect.
The need to control that, and of course, it's not a matter of failure to connect the dots.
The FBI now has five versions of their story.
Can you add how they were already getting in Yemen? That's how.
The scanning machines that we currently are beginning to deploy.
He told me to go through the scanner, and I said no. It's a real act of submission. They were involved in a cover-up. This is huge. Police state isn't coming. It's here. Police state 4, the rise of FEMA. And that is the first trailer. We're going to have some other trailers and sneak peeks next week for the documentary. It will premiere the 21st of April at PrisonPlanet.tv for PrisonPlanet.tv members. And if you want the highest quality DVD, I want to support our work here. Order the DVD so you get it first, and don't waste time. Everybody wants to know about the FEMA camps. The government and the media are always lying and putting out disinfo. This is their own words, their own congressional hearings, their own documents, video of the FEMA camps, all the plans, the gun confiscation, the foreign troops, FEMA NLEO 9. The film literally covers the entire police state. Homeland Security, NORTHCOM, all of it. Infowars.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. We don't normally discount films when they first come out, but I just want people to have these. So if you get it with Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, Jason Burmese's film that ships on or before April 15th, premieres at PrisonPlanet.tv April 15th, an amazing film. Go read the synopsis of the film at Infowars.com. Watch the trailer. 18 months in the making. This is just as high a quality as my last few documentaries. Produced in-house. Great graphics. The information is key. Covers a lot of info we haven't gotten into. Such an important film. Invisible Empire. You can get $5 off when you get the two films together. Infowars.com. Okay. They're now saying five Democratic Party offices around the country have had bricks thrown through them. Looks staged to me. You then have this new report from Fox News. Cantor says campaign offices was shot at, accuses Dems of exploiting threats. This is big national news. Why was it not big news when Lou Dobbs got his house shot up? I mean, it's not good when anybody does this, but sounds staged, or it'll be some unstable person. And the system knows as they squeeze the population, there's going to be some real events that go on. Virginia Representative Eric Cantor said Thursday that his Richmond campaign office has been shot at and that he's received threatening emails. But at the same time, he told House Minority Whip he accused top Democrats of trying to exploit the threats they've been receiving for political gain. Now, let me expand into this article. In fact, did I send you guys this MSNBC video clip that's in this article? Do you have the clip that's in this article where they have the author of a article about the Tea Parties in it? Okay, good, because I want to go ahead and play that now and then break down the propaganda, because the governor's mansion got firebombed. And if it wasn't a staged event, it was done by people that don't like government and Republicans. We have all these videos posted of Democratic Party thugs in Florida, in Missouri, and in other places beating up Tea Party folks in legal, lawful demonstrations. And it never makes the national news. It's always maybe on the local news or just on YouTube. You have all these calls for violence by Mecha and La Raza. A few weeks ago, I saw a video from a Southern Poverty Law Center meeting with La Raza's head there talking about how they're fighting racism. La Raza means the race. This is just as big as of a race organization as the Aryan Nations of the Ku Klux Klan. Just as racist, but much bigger. Millions and millions of members. And so what they've done is they brought in all these foreigners on a liberation theology-based hate of America, hate of white people. But that's all kosher and good and loving and fun. And then meanwhile, anybody who criticizes this is then called a racist. Oh, you don't like socialism? You're a racist. Oh, you don't like government being so large? You're a racist. It isn't working anymore, though. They have really used this guilt card on white America too long, and it's over. And more Hispanic Americans, black Americans know this. What I've seen Gallup polls now of over 80% of Hispanics want to shut down the borders. They're not stupid. They're smart Americans, as smart as anybody, or smarter. They know that the illegals are being brought in to drive down the wages, and it's destroying their standard of living. They know America's being used as a steam valve for revolution in Mexico, so Mexico won't implode. We need the Mexicans who aren't citizens to go down there and take their country back. It could be a wonderful place. It's got three times the natural resources we've got. I like Mexico. I like the Mexican people. I'd like to be able to travel back down there. But you can't. It's a total police state imploding. You know, we need to fix Mexico, and we need to fix this country. We need to decriminalize drugs because it's the drug war that's making Mexico collapse, and it's what's making the Southwest collapse. In fact, will you guys bring me – in fact, here it is. This is the San Antonio Express news cover Sunday. Drug war is killing Mexico border cities. Of course, you decriminalize drugs, this will end overnight because there won't be all the profit involved. But the government is laundering most of the drug money. The drug war you see in Mexico is about shutting off the competition. It's about knocking off drug gangs that aren't paying their cut to the CIA and the big banks. But here's this key article. We need to get ahead of this. We need to counter this now. I'm going to cover it more next hour. The media is trying to hype violence to get weak-minded, unstable people to go out and be violent in copycat stuff against Democrats so they can play the part of victims. They're also setting the stage, as I've told you, for Tea Parties and others to commit terror attacks to be blamed on the American people that will be staged. I've told you this is all coming, and now you see it unfolding. But in this article, it exposes who the real thugs are. Pro-Obamacare thugs, not Tea Party activists, are the real violent extremists. PrisonPlanet.com by Paul Joseph Watson. And I want to go to this clip of a Tea Party activist who's an author who really stood his ground and won the debate. The anchor was very angry on MSNBC. I believe it's MSNBC, isn't it? We're going to play this piece of propaganda. And the guy says, okay, you give me an example of violence by Democrats. And that was the one part where he said, well, there have been examples, but I don't have to get into them now. What do you mean? We have a bunch of these examples, and we have Jewish activists and black activists, college students caught painting swastikas on their dorms, burning down their own churches. How many times have they been caught? And when they get caught, it's a minor footnote. Most of this is staged. Some of this is real. I believe the few racial epithets thrown at Obama during the passage of the House health care bill Sunday were staged. We know the Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL. We know Hal Turner, the big top Nazi, was an FBI officer, agent, not just an informant. Let's go ahead and play this clip, though.
Joining us is the author of The Big Black Lie, How I Learned the Truth About Democracy, About the Democratic Party. Kevin Jackson, first of all, what do you make of the latest information from Congress that, there are increasing concerns about this possibly getting out of hand, some of this violent imagery and rhetoric?
Well, I've been to many tea parties around the country, and I've yet to see anybody, any real violence towards anybody. So I think it's a bit overstated.
Were you there on Saturday, though, at the Capitol when Congressman Lewis and other members of the Congressional Black Caucus were greeted with derogatory racial slurs when another member of Congress was spat upon? Were you there for that?
wasn't there for that, but saw the video about it and determined that a lot of what they were saying had happened actually hadn't occurred. Like I said, I've been to hundreds of tea parties around the country. What I can tell you is I've never seen any blacks lynched at one of them. So that's still one of the things that's only for the Democrats to hold a distinction about.
But Kevin, are you okay when President Obama, the first African-American president, is depicted the way he's depicted on some of these signs, whether it's the Hitler mustache or whether it's being depicted as like the Joker? I mean, is that okay with you?
It's par for the course. Every president that's been elected has gone through something like that. Bush has been was demonized as a gorilla, as a chimpanzee, as a cowboy cowpoke, and a host of other things. In fact, he was depicted as Hitler many, many times. I did a blog about the idea that Bush was depicted as Hitler more than Obama was. So that's just par for the course. That's what happens. One side wins, the other side goes after him. So I don't see any difference between him, between Obama and any other president in this respect.
Remember any Republican members of Congress or Republican Party officers that had bricks thrown through their front windows? I mean, that's happened now half a dozen times over the past few days.
Yeah, in fact, there's been many incidences where Republicans have been attacked, whether it's at the local
name
level
one.
Up to the national level. It's not our responsibility to name them. The point is that everything that you guys want to say...
Hit pause. Watson looking 5 minutes. I called him this morning and said, look, remember the union thugs beating people up in Florida and St. Louis and California? Remember that congressman office getting shot? Remember the congressman getting the bricks thrown in? Remember Lou Dobbs? And without even looking, we found scores of examples that are in this article. But that's what the media does. They try to play these little tricks to make it look like this isn't going on. And we've got all the cases where they stage these attacks against themselves, where they've been caught doing it. And then let's think about the IRS, without due process, stomping into people's houses, taking their furniture, taking everything they got, SWAT teams busting in on the wrong houses, killing people. I've got articles here out of New York. New York City cops sorry for pounding on couple's door 50 times because of a police database that was wrong. I mean, think about when the government abuses or hurts people, it's always a minor footnote. But then maybe real people did throw bricks through their windows. Why is it now such a big deal when the media always ignores it when it happens to conservatives? Let's continue.
An equivalency here, and we have evidence and we have videos and photographs of people who have of incidents in Niagara, New York, Rochester, New York, Arizona, Ohio, and Kansas, where Democratic Party offices, congressional offices were targeted with stones or bricks thrown through the window. And you're saying that that's happened to Republicans, and all I'm asking is name them.
Who threw them? Do you have the actual evidence of the people who threw them? In many cases, these are Democrat operatives that are doing a lot of this stuff. So
Democratic operatives who are destroying their own property so that somehow people would just choose to blame them on Republicans? You really believe that?
Yeah, it's kind of like when there are riots in Watts and black people go and loot their own stores and you wonder why did it happen? It's the same reason. So when you can tell me with complete evidence that the people that are doing this are Republicans, and I'll be happy to answer your question. But until then, all you've got is anecdotal evidence.
Your analysis is illogical.
The same way that you have anecdotal evidence around the Tea Party groups and saying that everybody's a racist, when I'm an example of a person who's been to these events, not one single racial incident can I point at.
To be clear, I'm not saying everybody's a racist. I'm not even saying most of the Tea Partiers are racists. I'm saying that there is a racist fringe to this, and that I wish Republican leaders and Tea Party supporters like yourself
would condemn that. Well, there's a racist fringe to the Democrat Party, because as I said, I've yet to see a black man lynched at a Tea Party. But I do know that the Democrat Party has lynched black people. So if you want to make that equivalency, then let's talk about that for a bit.
Kevin Jackson. Kevin, I disagree with you on a lot of stuff, but I do appreciate you coming on today.
All right.
My pleasure.
I mean, he kicked his butt. But this whole guilt by association, you start robbing 300 million people, you're going to get some pushback. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. Stay with us.
Who you talk to about this sort of thing who say, Marcellus, what are you doing, man? What are you doing going on TV? What are you doing? You're an activist. You're 11 years old. What do you tell them?
I say that I'm doing it for my mom, and my teacher, Matt, is really excited that I'm doing all of this and that he's been following my every move.
I'm almost afraid to ask you what you want to do when you grow up because you're more grown up than a whole lot of people I know. Have you ever thought about that? What do you want to do when you grow up?
I want to become the president of the United States.
Oh, well, all right.
Poor
you heard
little
it first
Marcellus
here.
Owens being used by Barack Obama because they know that their approval ratings have dropped to the lowest ever in history for Congress, the president, you name it. This guy's more unpopular than Richard Nixon in his last months now. And there's poor little Marcellus Owens, I'm sure a well-meaning person, being duped, thinking he's giving people free health care. And I showed you the Associated Press earlier. In fact, here it is, Marcellus, where it says in the bill, kids are not covered for pre-existing conditions. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, will be able to refuse coverage to children with pre-existing conditions. Right there, Associated Press. Oh, and Hitler loved always having kids around him and kids at signing statements and when he was signing bills. So here's little Owens with our modern Hitler, but we don't recognize this tyrant because he's got brown skin. We all know that tyranny can only come from white skin. In fact, tyranny can only come from a Hitler mustache. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's the same thing repeating itself. Hitler was a national socialist, and they had government health care, and they used it to take control of people's lives. And now here's this poor little boy up on television being used. Leif in Montana, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing as best I can to fight these people. Go ahead.
You're doing great. Earlier this morning, I was listening to one of your shows, one of your past shows, and you mentioned that some of the rich are finding out that they're not really some of the elite. A few years ago, I was attending a Sundance, and the holy man that conducts the ceremony was telling of a time that he had been shown when America was under starvation, and not because there was a food shortage, but because the super rich were hoarding the food. The super elite, the real rich, are the ones that are going to run everyone.
You know, I've actually heard some of those Native Americans, they've been saying that for 100 years, that was going to come to America and that the elite were going to shut off the food, the same way they put Native Americans on reservations, the same way they broke up their families. Hitler bragged that he took his ideas on how to set up camps from what was done by the British and others here in the United States.
Well, and reservations are a good example of how you treat us will also come to you. You know, we're allowing these few people to control everything. But just look at the microculture on a reservation. They're trying to do the whole world that way.
And I hope listeners realize that when I make films like Endgame and I show you books like Eco-Science by the White House Science Czar, they talk about their goal is setting up world government and then killing the majority of the population. That's the truth. Doesn't matter how nuts it sounds. We're not nuts talking about it. The nuts are the people that write this.
They are. And we're familiar with it. Our concern, you know, I'm Native. Our concern is about the human race, not just about, you know, the poor Indian. We're all falling under this, and it's up to us to change it. Us as a human race, not to be slaves, to push them back and say no and become active in our families and our community again, to push back.
Well, I've read that many of the Native Americans are exempt from this because you're your own nation, but you're already under a lot of the reservation and federal control already.
It is, yeah. It's not true sovereignty, like they tell us. You know, we pay taxes. We're bound by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And in some ways, we find it interesting, Barack Obama has been adopted by the Crow Indians. And in our world, an adoption is if by blood. But it still doesn't make him a decent human being just because he's Indian now.
He's nothing but a puppet reading off a teleprompter. God bless you. Final hour, straight ahead. More calls, tons of news. It is already the fourth and final hour of this Thursday, the 25th day of March 2010 edition. I'm going to continue covering news, and we're going to be taking your phone calls at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to have Matt Ryan, one of my producers, in here to tell you a little story that happened to some of his relatives and how it ties into victim disarmament. And these Brinks commercials where it shows these thugs trying to attack women and they just huddle down with their alarm going off and that supposedly protects them. That is not truth in advertising. It's fine to have an alarm to let you know somebody's breaking in. The next step is to have the firearm to defend yourself and to stop the attacker, stop them dead in their tracks. So that is coming up also. Right now, let's go ahead and go back to your calls. Let's talk to Leo in Missouri. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Welcome.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on something I had been thinking about, and that is, as opposition grows amongst the people to this health care bill, what do you think the chances are of a big-scale terrorist attack happening in this country?
That's all I've been talking about the last 3-4 months, is that they're going to stage events and blame it on the Tea Parties. They're going to stage events and blame it on the birthers and 9/11 Truth, and you've seen that start. And in every case, it's clear that this is being staged. And the Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL are out preparing the public mind for this. And they're absolutely going to have staged terror attacks to be able to force all this through. And I agree with Rush Limbaugh. They may stage events to try to suspend the election. There is no doubt. There's been a lot of talk about suspension of elections before because of the police state being set up. But now they've got it in place.
And I guess today it was just a big coincidence that Osama bin Laden showed up back in the news again.
That's right. Every time they need a good distraction, Governor Ridge admitted, former head of Homeland Security last year in a book, that they would issue fake terror alerts for political gain as a political distraction. In the Patriot Act, issuing a fake terror threat or alert is a very serious felony, but it's okay when the government does it.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. Well, that's all I wanted to talk to you about today. Thanks for taking my call.
Leo, incredibly powerful points. 1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us. Doug in Oregon, you're on the air.
Afternoon, Alex.
Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Oh, hey. Alex, I was wondering if you could possibly give us a resource or, a web resource, or maybe you could get a special guest on to inform the listeners, how do you go about convening a grand jury to indict these people? How do you go about starting a recall? How do you, get your attorney generals to look at evidence and these kind of things? Because I think so many people are overwhelmed by the bureaucracy of it all.
Well, look, number one, you call them, you go visit them in their offices, you demand strong action. I had Judge Napolitano talk about solutions in the second hour today. We've had Red Beckman on many times. We had him on a few weeks ago. In fact, let's go ahead and get Red Beckman back on for another hour just to talk about how to get grand juries convened. The government's tried to turn grand juries into creatures of the prosecutors, where they are kept political slaves, basically, of the system. When grand juries are supposed to decide, in many cases, what they want to go after. And so you simply try to bring information to the grand jury. There's different procedures depending on your state to do that. But that's a good idea. We will do an hour on that next week.
Okay, Alex, I thank you very kindly. And God's grace and peace to your family. And keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for the call. Okay, we're going to go to break. I'm going to come back and get into some more news, recap some top stories. And then we're going to continue with your calls and then get into this victimization of society where everybody just lays there and takes it, this domestication. It's all coming up after this quick break. You have founded the front lines of the info war as we wage war on corruption and crash with the lies and disinformation. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm gonna leave you.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now 8 minutes into this fourth and final hour. I want to recap some of the top stories, most important news dealing with the government takeover of healthcare, the American people literally going into socialist bondage. Then we're going to go to your phone calls and get into a host of other important news, including an excellent article written by Chuck Baldwin that's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, Dates That Destroyed America. And I wholeheartedly agree with his analysis. We're going to break that down towards the end of the broadcast today. U.S. Senate passes reconciliation bill and sends it back to the U.S. House. Meanwhile, Barack Obama is challenging Republicans, saying, quote, go for it, Obama tells GOP on health repeal. And he's got all these little kids up on TV with him saying, thanks for giving me health care for my pre-existing condition. Oh, you're so great. What the Republican leadership won't tell you is, and Bloomberg and Business Week and the Wall Street Journal will, is the insurance companies wrote this stinking thing and their stocks are going way up. Not the little insurance companies or the medium-sized ones, the big ones. This allows them to lower the standard of care under government control with the IRS telling you what health care you can and can't have. It forces 30-plus million people to buy insurance they don't want or need. Sets a very dangerous precedent. And again, here is the Associated Press, the big dirty secret. Gap in health care law protection for children. Under the new law, insurance companies still would be able to refuse new coverage to children because of a pre-existing medical problem. That was the spokeswoman for the House Energy and Commerce Committee said. And I went and looked up the subsection. It is there. It has a national ID card for health care that everybody has to have in the subsection. Like, I'll just go ahead and show you the subsection right now. I keep getting emails saying we're making this up. Here is page 65 of the passed House bill, section B, subsection I, eligibility for health plan. And right here at the end, it says allow for the use of a machine readable identification card for health care. Okay? They got another bill to force citizens to have a national ID card to have any job that the IRS regulates and watches. And it's in the health care bill where they take your money directly out of your account and take your refund. And here's the Associated Press. U.S. citizens may need national ID cards to work if bill passes. And Lindsey Graham's got a bill to arrest U.S. citizens and allow, quote, enhanced interrogation for any intelligence reason or reason by the president. And I just can't believe it. Rush Limbaugh, 15 years ago, was a lot more hardcore on the Second Amendment and other issues. Over time, he got pretty bad because he was under a lot of political pressure and in trouble for hillbilly heroin and everything else. But I didn't judge him. Anybody from pain can get addicted to Oxycontin. But when he says have mandatory sentencing for people that use other illegal drugs and put them in jail for 25 years, that's hypocritical. But I've got to commend him. He's saying world government is here, new world order is here, government takeover, a globalist elite. They may suspend the elections. We're in a police state. Earlier, I read some of his quotes from yesterday's show, so we commend Rush Limbaugh. I will always commend anybody that starts telling the truth. So, but that tells you how much trouble we're in, how serious this is. And I agree with Michael Savage 6 months ago when he said Obama will stage, in fact, cue that up. Savage says Obama may stage Reichstag. I've been saying this forever because it's not Obama. It's the people that run Obama. Republicans stage terror attacks. Democrats do it. And they're really starting to get scared of the American people because they know we're waking up. And continuing with the health bill, this is out of Politico. Okay? Politico.com. Health bill exempt top Hill staff, not all the members of the House or not all their staffers, the Democratic leadership, the leadership of all the committees, they are exempt from having to be part of the health bill. Here is the PrisonPlanet.com article by Steve Watson that details it even more and has the subsection of the bill, page 158. Loophole exempts Washington insiders from Obamacare. It's not just members of the House. It's other special groups. The Sergeant of Arms, Obama, and others. You can see some of my doodling there. That's the problem with printing these articles out for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Long before I simulcast the radio show with live webcams, I would doodle on articles, so you get to see my doodling for people that aren't just listening on the radio. So that is a very, very important area of this legislation. You know, I don't know if I'm going to get to this, if I'm going to have time, but it's up on Infowars.com. War criminal Bush demonstrates his contempt for humanity. And Kurt Nemo wrote this article. But it's worse than what Kurt even puts in the story. It shows Bush, George W. with Clinton, another criminal, in Haiti, and Bill Clinton shaking all the Haitians' hands, and a Haitian reaches out to Bush and he shakes his hand. And it's not that Bush wipes his hand off. The guy may have had something on his hand. Bush acts like he's patting Clinton on the arm, and Clinton turns around, but he's rubbing the sweat or the snot or whatever it is off on Clinton's arm. And it just shows, if you know psychology, how sadistic and psychopathic and sociopathic Bush is, that even a former president of the U.S., one of his peers, he reaches over like he's being his friend, but he goes, ugh, and then starts wiping it off on him. Again, it's just a window into the nastiness of George W. Bush, who tripled the size of government, Patriot Act, all of it. Remember, all of these guys are out of control. They've all got to be voted out. That's why the Republican Party's going after Rand Paul in Kentucky, who's 10 points ahead. They've got the head of elections in the state running against him, and the ethics board says he is allowed, for the first time ever, every state has laws that the ballot counters, the people running the ballots, can't be on the ballot. Well, they don't care now. So doesn't matter if Rand Paul's 10 points ahead. If we don't make a big deal out of this, he's not going to win. And that's going to send shockwaves across the country. The Republican Party, the mainline neocons, have said, we've got to beat Rand Paul. They've written editorials. Or real grassroots is going to take over and our party's over. Your party is over, scum. It's not just Democrats that are going to get voted out. Lindsey Graham needs to be out of there. He's a nightmare. He supports the carbon tax that will kill what's left of our economy. Now, in other news, Osama bin Laden in tape threatens to kill Americans. And in the Reuters and AP articles, it then admits, oh, we don't know if this is really him. They just put out more fake tapes to scare everybody. Now, on the police state front, listen to this article. Cops in New Jersey town gives keys to homes. We have already the government watching kids at home with their government laptops. We already have cameras going in school showers and locker rooms all over the country. We already have the Houston police chief last year proposing cameras in everybody's homes. Franklin Township police set up realtor-like lockboxes so officers can respond immediately to emergencies. And they're just showing up saying, this is what you use on your door now. Oklahoma passed a law you can't have burglar bars on your house so the criminal government can break in, and so can the criminals. It's a novel program designed to improve the safety of senior citizens in New Jersey. And we now see these reports about cops try people's doors to see if they're open. They have knock and talk. They come and knock on your door and say, can we see if your guns are legal? And then now in Boston, they just force their way in. The program would allow police quick access into a home to help anyone having a medical emergency without having to break down the door. And this is just the total domestication. And I'm going to talk about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. I mean, here's Fox News. Should government regulate what we eat? And it says the feds are announcing they're going to put taxes on food, salt, grease, and then surveil everything you're doing. Let's jam in a few phone calls in these next few segments. I'm going to go back into the news. Let's talk to Fred in Iowa. Fred, you're on the air.
Howdy, Alex.
Welcome.
I've been calling into the major talk radio station here in Iowa for the last 2.5 years. In the last few days, I've seen a major turnaround. How long that will last, I don't know. But the hosts are asking the candidates for Congress and the Senate really the tough questions, like the kind of questions you would ask. And I would suggest, or strongly suggest, to your listeners to don't give up, because I know what it does to get overwhelmed at times, to call into these talk radio shows and be civil, but keep punching away to try to get the message in.
Exactly. Let me add this, Fred. People always say, what are the solutions? All we're giving people is solutions. Have grand juries start criminal investigations of all the payoffs to get this bill passed. In fact, I saw a story about that in the news today. They're looking at criminal investigations over giving senators' family members jobs to vote. In fact, I forgot that article. It's not in my stack. It was on Drudge. Print that for me, please. And take the states back, nullify this, sue over it. But the power of the average citizen to call into liberal and conservative radio and bring up real issues and reach hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. We are the true voice. We are the American people. We are the Constitution. And I'm seeing major radio executives that have contacted me. Some of them contacted me years ago, who finally know this is real. They finally know we were right. And so a lot of people weren't controlled. They just were programmed. And so they're breaking out of the programming, Fred.
Well, Alex, I understand what you're saying, but let this go out to people that seem like they're ineffectual or a little bit intimidated. You've got to keep punching. Now, I've been a prison planet for 7 months, and the sign I got on my pickup in this little town has really got me in some hot water, and you probably know what that is. But you got to keep punching. I'm talking to people out there, old and young. I'm an old fogey.
Well, Fred, stay there. Fred, stay there. I want to find out what's on your car when we come back from this quick break, because I don't know what it is. What is it? Infowars.com? And what? In land of the free, home of the brave, you can't have that?
Federal agents, we are armed! What would you do if you want the things we know? We have one stand up for the possession of illegal
firearms. Why would you turn away to if you saw all of the things that's wrong?
You know this country's going to hell in a handbasket. What are you going to do to stop it? The power of true patriots flooding talk radio and never shutting up and demanding treason investigations and criminal investigations. In fact, the headline on that article was, House members call for special prosecutor over jobs for votes. That was the headline. I just remembered the exact headline. Okay, Fred, you got cut off by the break. You're in Iowa. You're saying you've got a bumper sticker that's gotten you in hot water. Tell us about it.
Yes, it is. But I want to make some points, too, but I think that would be helpful, you know. Anyhow, I got the inside job in InfoWars on the bottom.
And what happens? I mean, how has it gotten you in hot water?
Well, I tell you the truth, I don't want to go into it any deeper. In any depth. And I'm not trying to be evasive.
No, it's okay, but have you been harassed over it?
Not really when people see the sign, except more often than not, I have to bring their attention to it. But talking to some of the city people here, let me put it that way, it got a little hairy, and the police. But could I make some other
points? They didn't imply that you weren't allowed to have that bumper sticker, did they?
Like that, you know.
Wait a minute. So I was right, because I've seen this over and over again. The police tried to tell you can't have 9/11 was an inside job on it?
Nobody has told me that, Alex. But
okay, what did they tell you then?
Well, this has went back, you know, and I've been talking about the flu epidemic and all this and all the way through, and, you know, I've talked to a few people, and they said it was all hooey and all lies, you know, and they would not say anything detrimental to the anything about the flu epidemic and all that.
So you were exposing it as a fraud, and they disagreed with you. Now it's admitted it was a fraud. Get into the other points you wanted to make, Fred.
Okay, Alex, there's people like me that are intimidated, or they get fearful at times, but you got to keep punching. I'm not saying I'm a brave guy. I'm not a barroom fighter anymore. I'm 72. But you got to keep going. And I like this talk radio. I've been working on this for 2.5 years, and now, with everything that's happening right now politically, these guys, hosts, have got cover, and they're getting more courage. But you got to have callers that call in that kind of back them up or bring it to their attention and other people's attention, and then they don't have to be the lone ranger there by themselves. And it's beside a multitude of ways. Talk radio, which is the fourth estate, is how we get the word out.
And we real patriots have to take it over from the mainline Republicans. Thank you, Fred. And we are doing that. Jim in California, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Alex. This is Jim in California. I got in the car today to go on a ride, and NPR was on, and two shows in a row. All they're talking about is how patriots are racist. People against the health care bill are racists. It was really incredible.
Well, they do that to invoke race as poverty pimps to make all the majority groups, minorities are a majority in many states now, hate white people and to get us all fighting with each other. It's classic divide and conquer. They are the racist. Mecha, La Raza, the government, they are the ones that want us to all fight with each other, and it's disgusting, and people see right through it.
Yeah, it was incredible. On Fresh Air, they had the guy who writes for Southern Poverty Law Center's intelligence report for an hour. And it just completely blew me away. I just wanted to let you know. And the only dovetail to that is, how do I get your show on the radio up here? Do I call radio stations and ask them? Or?
We're only on, what, four affiliates, which is pretty good in California. But absolutely, believe me, every station in the country's told us that they've gotten lots of calls, and they know the show is popular, and a lot of them are starting to turn it on. And for all these years, oh, there's not world government, there's not a banking takeover, there's not government-sponsored terror, the government's not watching you off your laptop cameras, oh, the government isn't putting poison in the water, oh, the UN doesn't want to reduce our population. Now, you go to Drudge Report almost any day, he's got mainstream links, mainstream papers admitting this. So the denial is over, and I'm going to talk about that when we come back in the next segment.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you so much, Jim. And we will get to Shannon, Steve, Kenny, and Kevin before the show ends. But I'm going to come back and get into the fact that we've been right all along, that we've told it like it is. And because we did talk about these issues when it was unpopular, people now remember, and they remember seeing the films and hearing the radio shows and reading the books that many others put out. And we were right, and so our credibility is rising. So they're going to say we're violent. They're going to say we're racist. They're going to try to radicalize everybody, as Cass Sunstein said in the White House documents. It's not going to work. We'll be right back. Waging war on corruption, crashing through the lies of disinformation, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central, live. It's 12 noon to 4 p.m. Eastern. Re-aired on AM and FM stations across the country. Also, XM 158. And we're also on some of the other channels. We're getting that posted up on Infowars.com. Paul Watson's writing an article about that today. They carry 1 hour of the weekday show at night and 3 hours on Saturday. And hopefully, they're going to be expanding that. Very, very exciting. I want to thank all of our AM and FM affiliates, XM, you name it, WWCR Shortwave. You can also listen at Infowars.com. Don't forget, over 35,000 downloads in the last month of our new free iPhone app. Go to Infowars.com, big banner on the right-hand side, or go to the Listen page for all the different listening features. You can listen on Flycast on any cell phone, but it's a channel on there. This is your own app, has a lot of great features. It is 5 stars at the App Store with over, 900 ratings now. So go check that out, even if you don't have an Apple iPhone. You can send the link to the free download on the iTunes store. You can find that link at Infowars.com to friends, family, coworkers, neighbors that have an iPhone, ladies and gentlemen. So a great way to listen to the show free anywhere you want. We're also, I have a link on there to the podcast, the free podcast. So download the whole show whenever you want, however you want. And don't forget, we're premiering 2 films next month, April 15th, April 21st, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, the most powerful police state film I've ever made. I haven't made one in almost 8 years. And, of course, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined by Jason Burmes. You can pre-order those now so you get them first. Make copies of them. Get them out to everybody. In other important news, Representative Daryl Issa, who we've interviewed before, we need to get him back on, will call for special prosecutor to investigate White House bribery, quid pro quo. And then I have another Times Free Press article about the same thing in Tennessee. They openly gave Congress members, House and Senate members, wives, children, business partners, lucrative government positions and jobs, openly to do this sellout. This is illegal, and there's more than one way to skin a cat. We have the states sue. The states pass laws against Obamacare and against the carbon tax and everything else and amnesty. But you also go after these people criminally. They got Al Capone on tax evasion. We will get these people however we can. They are a pack of criminals and must be brought to justice. Separately, the Senate passed the compromise fix-it bill, as it's being called, and it's now going to the House. Pelosi says Congress will pass health care fix today. So it went back to the Senate, back to the House. Obama has already signed that, and we're going to be going over it. Now, I want to talk about the nanny state. And I've told the story before, but I'll tell it briefly so there's congruity here in this piece we're doing right now. 7 years ago, I'm at La Madeline restaurant here in Austin with my wife and my son. I go to the bathroom, come back out. There's a big crowd of people yelling, call 911, call 911. I go over. People are pushing on me, trying to stop me from giving the Heimlich maneuver with a woman turning purple laying on the table. By then, she was on the table, starting to pass out. I did the Heimlich, came out. And some were angry at me for helping her, saying, you should have waited for the police, should have waited for the EMS. Others were saying, you're a hero. I told my wife we're not finishing our food. If I broke a rib or something, which I didn't, you know, she may sue us. Let's get out of here. Gerald Celente, trends forecaster, told the same story, similar. He said, is there a doctor in the house? Big restaurant. Woman's choking. Or it was a man choking in that case. I had him on a month ago. I was telling the story, and he said same thing happened to him. And no one would help the person, so he did the Heimlich. And it turned out there was a doctor there, but because of liability, he didn't want to help. And you see the cases every few days in the news, all over Europe, all over the U.S. and Canada. A cop a few years ago got hit for over an hour plus. He laid on the side of the road bleeding to death at one of the busiest thoroughfares. It's the corner of William Cannon and I-35. No one helped him until cops came by. You see the cases of a woman being mugged or stabbed, bleeding to death for 4 hours in Toronto. How did we go from being people that would help each other to people that will drive on by an old lady being mugged? The idea that the police are specialists and it's their job to protect you is a fraud. The courts have ruled they have no liability to protect you that are respond after a crime has been committed to carry out justice. Now, they try to protect you, but it, depending on the state, 6 to 12 minutes, depending on the city, for 911 to be able to respond. And every few days, I know you see the stories too, we read about a woman or a young man, normally Chicago, New York, L.A., where people are taught to not own guns or where they can own guns in some of these cities. Someone will bust in. You've all heard the 911 tapes. He's coming. He's got a knife. They're like, where are you? What street is it? And the cops show up 15 minutes later, and you're gutted and dead, and the guy gets away. We need to find our humanity again. Get off the bench. Stop being spectators to our own destruction or others' destructions. You need to go out, buy firearms, take shooting lessons, learn how to use it. And look, having an alarm is fine. I've got an alarm. I've actually got two alarms, and I got cameras on my house because, you know, I get a lot of death threats and stuff. And every once in a while, a tree will bang into a window and the alarm goes off. I get out of bed. I go to the instant access pistol safe right by the bed. 2 seconds, pops out. And I walk out and walk around the house, secure the perimeter, and find out what happened. I can't imagine being somebody in England where I read the articles every few months where somebody breaks in a house, is attacking them, the homeowner stabs them with a butcher knife, or in one case, pushes the guy out a two-story window, he breaks his legs, and the police charge them. They want you to lay there and take it. And they're not worried about criminals, they're not worried about open borders, they're not worried about any of this. They're worried about citizens thinking they have a right to defend themselves, which you do. It's a God-given, basic, common-sense right. And even in Texas, every few weeks I see stories about a woman being raped or killed or attacked, and where the guy breaks down the door, she locks her bedroom door, calls 911, and gets raped or killed. It's time for women to stop being victims. It's time for women to buy firearms. It's time for men to buy firearms. I have two daughters. One of them's 5, already knows how to shoot, and shoot good. My son knows how to shoot. This is so fundamental, and it's the same spirit of let a woman choke, call 911 when the average person will die in 4.5 minutes from asphyxiation. It's the same reason we let somebody else fight the banks or somebody else fight the UN or somebody else fight the healthcare takeover or somebody else. Look, we've been right about it all. The UN takeover, the global banks, the surveillance, the stage terror, the police state, how they're going to use the military against the American people, the federalization of police, all this legislation to secretly arrest citizens and even torture us. I had Judge Napolitano going over it earlier. It's in the legislation that Lindsey Graham's introduced. Obama saying he has the power to shut the internet down over cybersecurity. Cass Sunstein, his regulations are saying that they want to shut down conspiracy theories. And he lists people that say man-made global warming isn't real. Anthropogenic global warming. I mean, there are tyrants, bona fide, signed, sealed, and delivered, certified. There is no doubt that every other nation on earth has fallen to tyranny in the past. We are falling. It doesn't have to happen. And that's why I'm so excited that not just people on the street or people that didn't like me in the past, but major radio executives, some of the biggest in the country, have called me in the last 2 weeks and have said, you are absolutely right about all this. We can't believe this is happening. We're going to try to figure out ways to get you on more stations nationwide. But the owners and shareholders of these companies are globalist. But we know we don't have any future. That's why you hear Limbaugh saying New World Order, world government, New World Order. They want your guns. They may cancel the election. They may bring in martial law. In fact, can you cue up that Savage clip from earlier, and then we'll go to the Brinks clip? They can't listen, most people aren't government operatives in media. There are some, and that's come out in congressional hearings, that kind of set the ball rolling and put out the talking points. Most of them go according to what they think's popular, and oh, if it's a conspiracy theory to talk about a global government bank takeover plan, I better not talk about it even as it's happening. But now people are realizing this is a hot, oppressive, serious tyranny. This isn't something you can just stand back and go along with. Did you find it? Let's play a clip of Savage telling it like it is. Here it is. For some reason, this only ever happens in the fourth hour that the clips don't work. You know, we'll try to play that towards the end of the show. Let's go ahead and play this Brinks clip. We're going to get this Brinks clip queued up here in a minute or so, because I've been seeing these Brinks ads over and over and over and over and over again, where it shows kids in danger with their mother. There's never a man in the house, because what, half the country doesn't even have men in the house now. They're domesticating us, bringing us into bondage scientifically. Or if there is a man in the house, they cower with the wife and children, and the alarm goes off, and Brinks calls and tells them they've called 911. You know, you can't even call 911 yourself. Brinks calls them for you. Or there's a guy at a party, and nobody knows who he is, and he tries to break in later. These women go and cower and talk to Brinks on the phone. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to have an alarm. I think it's good. The problem here is that they're never show you that the woman goes and gets a gun, as they do every day in this country, and blast the criminal. So let's go ahead and play this Brinks clip. Here it is.
Coming. It was really nice to meet you, AJ.
Yeah, you too.
AJ?
This is Bill with Broadview Security. Is everything okay?
No, there's this guy. He just smashed in my door.
I'm sending help right now.
Thank you.
Brinks Home Security is now Broadview Security. Call 1-800-949-7448 now to install a standard system for just $99. The proven technology of a Broadview Security system delivers rapid response from highly trained professionals 24 hours a day. Call now to get the $99 installation, plus a second keypad installed free. And you could save up to 20% on your homeowner's insurance. Call 1-800-949-7448 now and get the system installed for just $99. Broadview Security, for your home or business, the next generation of Brinks Home Security. Call now.
Okay, so it's now Broadview, and I'm not bashing Brinks here, but these are anti-male ads targeting single women. And I mean, it's fine to have the Brinks to know somebody's breaking in, but isn't it better to have a firearm instead of cowering in fear? Now, I want to go to Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan over the weekend, they called the Austin Police Department five times. This happened to his wife's niece. This guy has been convicted before for assaulting people. He said he was coming over to attack her with a chain. He did it, beat her bloody, and the police would never come. Now, again, somebody calls and says, I'm coming over to your house with a chain. I'm going to tell them I'm going to defend myself. I advise you against it, but I'll be waiting. And if they start knocking the door down, I'm going to kill them. But again, talking to Matt, Matt's pro-Second Amendment, but this extended family of his is not. And so they're more afraid of guns than they are of people attacking them. Matt Ryan, tell us what happened.
All right. Basically, to go to the end of the story first, we did have to chase the guy off. Police showed up 20 minutes after he'd already left. But a couple hours before, around 5 p.m., we made a call to APD, said we're getting threatening calls. This guy says he's going to come over here, violent intentions. He's not kidding around. He's already on probation for assault. He's got a record. Please send somebody over. The police said there's nothing they can do. We get another call about 10 minutes later. I called them myself. The operator.
So he says, I'm coming to assault you. He's got, what, three arrests for this. He's on probation. You're telling him this. This goes on for 2 hours.
Right. And the second time I called, the operator said, we already have him in custody because of another domestic dispute across town that went on during that time. And I thought that was a little funny because we had just gotten off the phone with him. Well, he called 10 minutes later, so that operator was incorrect in assuring us that he was in custody.
But again, they know they have no liability to protect you.
Exactly. He keeps calling, and essentially we have to call three times. On the fourth time, we're told, finally, an officer's on his way. We'll have him out there in a few minutes. About 20 minutes later, he shows up, catches our niece. She had just pulled up in the driveway. She was getting out of her car.
He'd probably been waiting.
Right. He assaults her, and we have to fight him off. We fought him off. He starts driving down.
Oh, so you went over there to protect her.
Right. Well, basically the whole family rushed out. We were told stay indoors, but when we saw her pulling up, saw that happen.
Again, the police say stay indoors, yeah.
Exactly. We rush out. We fight the guy off, and he escapes. 10 minutes later, they arrive and say, you know, we couldn't find him. I was busy handling his other problem downtown.
And he probably won't even get in trouble with a probation officer.
Right. And here's a guy who has warrants, active warrants. He's on probation. He's got a rap sheet a mile long.
But the police were too busy last weekend doing a roundup for parking tickets. They call it a roundup, conditioning people to the term roundup, roundup. But they say it real scary in radio ads. And over 10% of the state has arrest warrants for petty things. They're too busy out collecting money from the slaves sucking off of us to actually respond to someone saying, I'm coming to attack you.
Exactly.
Now, let me tell you how that should have been handled. They should have been waiting in there with a gun. And when he pulled up an assaulter, they should have gone down and put that animal down.
I totally agree, 100%.
So now, thankfully, the family was there, so he wasn't able to beat her too bad, but you said she was bloodied.
Yes, he basically had a heavy chain, pulled it off, put it around his hand, and assaulted her. She had a busted chin. She was bleeding. She was, you know, kind of out of it. When he had been chased off, she was okay, thankfully. But, yeah, he definitely did. He went at her with a weapon. We called the police, said he's got a weapon. He's you know, beaten her. It still took them 20 minutes to show up.
Well, I want to show viewers out there what we do here at this office. We have people with concealed carry. I don't have a concealed carry. It's my Second Amendment. You come around here with a chain or a gun looking for trouble, you're going to get trouble right back. This is the spirit of freedom. This is the attitude that we have to have in this country to defend ourselves and defend this republic. The government will not protect you. They don't want to protect you. Even if they're good cops, their bosses want them out there sucking off of you. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. It's time to stop being scared of guns and to start being scared of the corrupt government and criminals and to defend yourself. Matt Ryan, I mean, any other thoughts on this? You were telling me that now the family is going to get a gun.
Absolutely. The family's going to get a gun. My wife and I are definitely going to get one, concealed carry, whatever we have to do to protect ourselves. I do have one thing to say. A couple hours later, the cop said he's going to jail for this. A couple hours later, he calls from the address we gave the cops to go pick him up, and he was still making violent threats. I mean, the guy obviously didn't get chased down.
No. It's come out in internal Chicago documents that they let the violent ones go to terrorize the public so they vote for more cops, so the cops can go out and raise suck more money.
Exactly. And if I get pulled over and my plates are out, I might go to jail.
Well, that's in the news. This week it came out that states are all being ordered write more tickets. So they can't respond. There's more cops, but they can't respond to real crime because they've got to suck off the people.
Exactly.
Well, she needs to go get a firearm. She needs to take firearms training. She doesn't need to wave it at him or say anything. He starts trying to assault her. Just unload the revolver. That's the best gun to use. Even if you're good with firearms, a revolver's good under stress. They don't malfunction very often. And, folks, it's your right. If somebody's assaulting you or coming in your house to do you harm or trying to rob you in your home, kill them. The government loves the criminals and protects them. All we can do is kill these murderers.
Now I'll make another prediction. I predict that very soon Obama will create a crisis along the lines of the Reichstag fire. I don't know what form it will take, but I believe that once the minions are seen for what they are, Rahm Emanuel and his gang will set off a Reichstag fire in this country of some kind, and they will recall the military dictatorship of Lincoln and Stanton during the Civil War when civilian suspects were arrested without warrant. I will tell you as I sit here, I fear that every night as I go to sleep.
All right.
I put nothing past these agitators.
So the idea of stage government terror is now being talked about on Savage, Limbaugh, everywhere. Hannity isn't doing it yet. We are forcing them to cover the real issues, and I commend it. There is no doubt that most of these bricks being thrown through and gunshots into a congressperson's office in Virginia are staged. They've caught the controlled left painting swastikas on churches and dormitory walls so many times I can't even count. This is the reality. And we have to get serious. We have to get focused. But 10 years ago, they could alternate Republican and Democratic power. And then the Republicans would promise to end the tyranny and then would continue it. And the Democrats would promise and get back in power and continue it. And it would take years for people to wake up each time and then vote for the other party. Now folks know that it's the incumbents, it's their voting records, it's system-wide, and people aren't mincing their words. And every time you talk about stage terror, every time you talk about New World Order, every time you talk about world government, every time you point out that we were right about man-made global warming being a premeditated fraud, they've now been caught red-handed, they know it's a fraud, they want to control your life, they want amnesty this year, they want open borders, they want to pass the carbon tax where they can selectively shut down any businesses they want. And the only way they're going to get this through is staging terror attacks to blame them on the Tea Party. And you see them in full mode right now, 100% pushing this idea and prepping everyone. And I've been predicting that in the month of April, late April, because I know there's 5 big TV documentaries about Tea Parties being evil and violent being produced by major news networks and HBO to air in the middle and late April. And they're producing them because their bosses have given them the word to have this ready then, because I believe they're going to stage really horrible events coming up in late April. Remember, I predicted 9/11 2 months before it happened. Just Google Alex Jones predicts 9/11, and you'll see, you know, millions of views on those videos. And a lot of Austinites saw me do that live. Syndicated radio audience, you heard me do show after show because I saw the preparation. I saw them prepping everyone and getting them ready. And to all of you yuppies out there making $100,000, $200,000 a year that think you're part of the power structure and don't think you should be politically involved or think everything's okay or, oh, it's not as bad as Alex Jones says, it's worse than I can explain to you. This is a scientific criminal takeover, and Obama is just the latest puppet, the latest front man. And so read the health care bill for yourself. Just look at it for yourself. Realize what this means. Realize that offshore banks have robbed us blind. Realize that at every level, government is getting exponentially more and more brazen, more and more criminal, more and more wild-eyed, because they are going for broke. They have passed the point of no return. They can't stop now. And so it's two speed trains, liberty and tyranny, going head up against each other. And everyone who loves liberty, everyone who hates tyranny, everyone who wants to live in a free country and doesn't want themselves and their children to go into bondage has to stand up now. We are here waging war on corruption. We are here crashing through the lies and disinformation. 4 hours a day at InfoWars.com and on the AM and FM dial. Tell all your friends and family about this radio show where they're going to get the full analysis of what's happening, and they're going to get the full spectrum of solutions and ideas, and where we're going to identify the enemies of freedom, the criminal parasites that have taken over our society. Great job, crew. Retransmission starts now on stations all over the country and InfoWars.com and the podcast. And again, great job, crew. See you back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, live.